green budgie. He knows the where, the how. From beyond the bamboo curtain, there's no one you can trust. While China watches everywhere, watch. Spies like us.
Where's the brains of the Scram Jam 7000?
Procurement picked it up over an hour ago.
Well, was it fixed?
Yeah, new voice scramblers and everything.
Hmm. Well, what about that red Chinese radio chatter?
It's done. Here you go.
Done. That was a static-filled triple-scrambled microwave transmission between two soldiers talking in Mandarin Chinese.
Well, the Chinese were only using a simple polyphonetically grouped 20-square-digit key transposed in booster photonic form with multiple nulls. They broke it with this.
A Drogon's decoder wheel? They put these things into cereal boxes for kids.
Yeah, I found it in a box of,
Lucky Charms. Break it down again with the machine.
I already did.
What are you, my mother? Don't you think I'm capable of determining my own time to go to the bathroom?
So, isn't now one of those times?
No. You mean you don't feel a certain degree of urgent pressure on the inner wall of your bladder now, right at this moment? No, I'm fine. Well, wouldn't you feel more comfortable being fully relieved of any excess fluids that might be building up immediately now? I gotta take a whiz. Don't go away.
Oh, we'll be here.
These guys are not our legitimate contacts. These guys are KGB Special Branch.
Oh, come on.
Don't tell me to come on. That was a Russian wristwatch. I know the country of origin of every timepiece in the world. That was a Russian copy of a 1969 Timex Digital.
What is this, some kind of a hobby with you?
Basic. Most common slip-up in espionage. We walk right into the...
I had been contacted in December 2012 by someone who didn't identify himself, but said that he had what he called interesting material that he thought I would want to look at. So I asked him to just provide me with a sample. He sent me, through encrypted email, maybe 24 top secret documents, and I immediately knew this was one of the most significant national security leaks in history. I had been working on surveillance issues for many years and had been writing about the abuses of the NSA, and suddenly in my lap had dropped some of the most potent instruments for shining a light on what it is that they were doing beyond your wildest dreams as a journalist. The unprecedented nature of the documents was going to be a huge earthquake in the political and media landscape around the world. And then the next call I made was to my editor because I knew I needed to get The Guardian behind it in a very fast way.
If I had just wanted to harm the U.S., you know, that you could shut down the surveillance system in an afternoon, but that's not my intention. And I think for anyone making that argument, they need to think, if they were in my position, and you know, you live a privileged life, you're living in Hawaii, in paradise, and making a ton of money, what would it take to make you leave everything behind? The greatest fear that I have regarding the outcome for America of these disclosures is that nothing will change. People will see in the media all of these disclosures. They'll know the length that the government is going to grant themselves powers unilaterally to create greater control over American society and global society, but they won't be willing to take the risks necessarily to stand up and fight to change things, to force their representatives to actually take a stand in their interests. And the months ahead, the years ahead, it's only going to get worse until eventually there will be a time where policies will change, because the only thing that restricts the activities of the surveillance state are policy. Even our agreements with other sovereign governments, we consider that to be a stipulation of policy rather than a stipulation of law. And because of that, a new leader will be elected. They'll flip the switch, say that because of the crisis because of the dangers that we face in the world, you know, some new and unpredicted threat, we need more authority. We need more power. And there will be nothing the people can do at that point to oppose it. And it'll be turnkey tyranny.
What's your objective?
My objective? Well, I object to taking a girl out, you know, and buying her dinner, and then she won't put out for you.
Why are you here?
Why am I here? Why are you here? Why is anybody here? I think it was Jean-Paul Sartre who once said...
How do you spell Sartre?
Ow! And let that be a lesson to you.
Every minute you don't tell us why you're here, I cut off a finger.
Mine or yours?
Yours.
Damn! Ow! Why are you still hitting me? He's going to cut my fingers off.
You have 30 seconds.
You're not going to start humming the theme to Jeopardy, are you?
We start with a little one.
All right. All right, I'm an American agent.
And?
They sent me here to assassinate your premier.
I knew it. Pay up, comrade. Let's cut his fingers off anyway.
No.
Let's take him back to headquarters in Moscow.
Good move. Good move. Headquarters.
Between security and privacy and freedom. But maybe technology. And as far as Snowden, he did, you know, I may be in disagreement with you, he did violate the law in terms of releasing those documents. We don't know. I understand.
The whole purpose of this program is to provide instantaneous information to be able to disrupt any plot that may be taking place. And... you know, I think a lot of the privacy people perhaps don't understand that we still occupy the role of the great Satan, of the great Satan. New bombs are being devised, new terrorists are emerging, new groups, actually a new level of viciousness. And I think we need to be prepared. I think we need to do it in a way that respects people's privacy.
Yeah, it's a dickfer. What's it, Dick?
NSA scandal. To me, this is this commissioner, this group, is caving into political correctness. The fact is, there are no Americans who have had their rights violated. No American citizens' calls are being listened to unless they are in contact with terrorists. No one's name is on file. No one's address is on file. This is a totally phony issue. And when I see someone like Rand Paul, who's a member of my party, somehow comparing Snowden and General Clapper, what is happening to our country when the United States Senator compares a traitor with an American hero like General Clapper?
He said that on this program yesterday.
Yes,
I'm gonna play that clip for you. Here's Senator Rand Paul talking about James Clapper, the Director of National Intelligence, the accusation he makes that he deliberately lied to Congress about the NSA surveillance programs and the comparison to Snowden. Listen to this.
Clapper's lying to Congress is probably more injurious to our intelligence capabilities than anything Snowden did, because Clapper has damaged the credibility of the intelligence apparatus, and I'm not sure what to believe anymore when they come to Congress.
All right, he's a fellow Republican. What do you say to him?
That is absolutely disgraceful to compare General Clapper with a traitor. The fact is, General Clapper was put in an impossible position because the senator who asked the question had already gotten the information in a classified setting. He knew that General Clapper could not give the full answer because it would let our enemies know what we were doing. The question was wrong. General Clapper gave the best answer he could. And for Senator Paul to compare that patriot, General Clapper, with someone like Snowden, who was a traitor, who's put American lives at risk, Senator Paul should be ashamed of himself. It's an absolute disgrace. He disgraced me. He disgraced his office.
Ladies and gentlemen, as of this afternoon, the Undersecretary for South American Affairs emphatically denies any and all intervention in the current realignment of top positions of the Paraguayan Air Force. Thank you very much.
Wait.
What about the Paraguayan Army's request for spraying subsidies?
Are there any Paraguayans here? No? Well, of course, their request for subsidies was not a Paraguayan, as it were. The United States government would never have, if the president, our president, had not, and as far as I know, that's the way it'll always be. Is that clear?
What about the report? How can you say we aren't spending millions on spraying when the International Wheat Board has reported, and I quote, extensive contamination in the grain fields of southern Argentina?
The state ever...
Microphone's cutting out on us. I'm awfully sorry. However, Unstate, so I must go.
If you like your privacy, you can keep it. But in the meantime, we're going to keep collecting your phone records, your emails, your text messages, and likely your credit card information. So I didn't hear any lessening of the spying on Americans or collecting records of Americans. I heard that, trust me, I'm going to put some more safeguards in place, but I'm going to keep right on collecting every American's records. This is something that's going to have to be decided by the Supreme Court. I think there's a real fundamental question whether one general warrant can apply to millions of people's records. And I think
saying, I'm in charge here. I'm going to do what I want. I've got a pen. I've got a phone. You know, really, there's something really profound about the way we set our government up with checks and balances and with these three branches of government. And it works for one to check the other so you don't get an abuse of power. But what we've seen under this president, I think, is a great abuse of power. First, an overreach, you know, with Obamacare, with the IRS, with Benghazi, and now with the NSA. So I think really we can't sort of trust this president just to go it alone.
But what are you going to do about it if indeed you're right? I mean, I hear so many, on your side of the aisle complain about the president, but all I hear is people talking about it. Is there anything you intend to do?
Well, you know, it takes a little while. We did fight him in the court on the recess appointments. He said he gets to decide when the Senate's in recess and he can appoint people anytime he wants. Well, the court rebuked him and said, no, you don't. And I think the Supreme Court's going to agree with that and say, the president, you can't just decide and do whatever you want. That's essentially what they're going to say to him. We're also suing him over the NSA. We're suing him because we don't think one warrant can apply to hundreds of millions of phone records. So we are. It takes a while to go through court. I also think we need to sue over the idea on Obamacare that he thinks he can amend it. He says he's got his pen and he just changes it willy-nilly whenever he wants. I think that's illegal. I think that's unconstitutional. But we can't really have a decision unless we get to that third branch of government.
Dr. Trowbridge and Greenbaum. Doctor?
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 Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone? Why don't you gentlemen relax? The tribe's planning a raid on a Soviet tank division tomorrow. There'll be plenty for us to do then. Doctors?
Doctor.
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 Doctor?
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 Doctor? We're not doctors. We gotta get out of this place immediately, if not sooner.
Ah. Oh, mind if I play through? Doctor? Doctor? Glad I'm not sick.
We're spies without sunglasses. We're born to seek the thrill. We place our bets, the roulette spins. The ball lands where it must. But is the system working for spies like us?
You can keep your privacy if you like your privacy, except for the suspicionless surveillance, warrantless wiretaps, and turnkey tyranny. Ain't nobody but spies like us. You got that right. We've got the most intricate spying apparatus and the biggest, baddest military, which is a good thing when used to defend us against foreign enemies. But when it is used against the citizens at home and for pseudo-empire building abroad, funded by worthless debt money and covered up by a propaganda psyop scam posing as a free press, we may want to take a closer look. Spies, bunch of bitchy little girls, are among the lowest form of scum on the planet because they lie for a living, like actors and politicians. But they are useful and necessary. No such agency is a great tool to defend us from our enemies, but a horrible nightmare when the government considers all of us the enemy. If you've got nothing to hide, then you have nothing to worry about, correct? Wrong. which is why the Constitution guarantees our unalienable rights against usurpation without probable cause and due process. Yet the NSA and all the other acronym agencies are keeping an eye on you, arming themselves against you, and protecting the bankers and politicians from you. Why are you such a threat? You are a threat to the now world order. That's right, now, nothing new. Because you think independently. This has nothing to do with your political bent and everything to do with your God-given free will. The state isn't the problem either. There is always a state. Rather, the problem is big government and big business colluding to monitor, manage, control, and use you. And when necessary, eliminate you. Whether it's called fascism, corporatism, statism, or whatever is irrelevant. It is undignified, un-American, inhuman, and evil. The political elite, transnational corporatists, and uber-wealthy banking class collude to dominate you, preferably with your complicit or passive cooperation. In addition to spying on you, they use the so-called free press to manage your perceptions, ideas, actions, and even your thoughts. Edward Bernays, nephew to Sigmund Freud, said the invisible government tends to be concentrated in the hands of the few because of the expense of manipulating the social machinery which controls the opinions and habits of the masses. Break the invisible chains. Do not cooperate. Think for yourself and reach out to other liberty lovers. If you want to put an end to the police state spying, mass propaganda thought control, and economic warfare empire building abroad. The profit-seeking corporatists control the RNC and just passed presidential nominee selection rules that crush the voice of the informed, active, and liberty-loving grassroots in order to push their rhino and use the media to convince Republican voters that authentic conservatives and conservative libertarians are the enemy. The fact is, the Keynesian corporatists are the real enemy, and the enemy is weak, but appears strong because we are willing to be divided. Find common ground and turn the tables. Who's spying on us? Spies like us. You have a choice. Work hard now to further liberty by having real conservatives and real libertarians take over the GOP, or watch the statists in both parties push their corporatist agenda to their benefit and our demise. Now is the last chance to stop those who want to fundamentally transform our republic into an empire abroad and a surveillance state at home. And the destruction of our economy by the Republican-Democrat duopoly and their Keynesian masters at the Federal Reserve by standing with the real conservatives. To defeat the cultural Marxists, the statists, collectivists, oligarchs, useful idiots, and their fellow travelers, especially the Democrat socialists, first, you must crush the rhinos for liberty. You are live on Liberty's Thunder with Rex and Trog, irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Double O Rec Fitzhume, broadcasting from the Westfield Marriott, host of presidential election year Bilderberg meetings across the street from the National Reconnaissance Office.
I am Doctor. I am not a doctor.
I'm not a radio host.
Oh, we're screwed. Oh, my gosh. Well, this is going to be a journey because regardless of what you think of Snowden personally or what he did, our goal is to get some information out to people because you're being lied to. And this goes back to it goes farther back because you can talk about echelon and things like that, but just if we just capture this environment and what's going on right now and the bull crap you're hearing in the media and the cover-up and the good president's speech the other day that basically said he's doing nothing. He's only going to violate constitutional rights for three levels before they decide to do it right. That's about it. And some oversight. Yeah, let me hire people in my department to be the oversight for our illegal program. Isn't that wonderful? So hopefully what we can do is unravel a little bit of this, and somewhere along the line in here I'm going to fit in some of the past on this because Snowden is not the beginning. All right, Snowden is 10 years, 11, 12, 13 years down the road. Sorry, I had to sneeze. So I muted. Boy, that would have hurt. But anyway, call the doctor. Woke him up. Said, doctor. Remember that song? But
I do.
We'll have to play that one time on the show, Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show. But
we'll
I will try to feed a little bit of information in post 9/11, after 9/11, or pre 9/11, and then post 9/11, and some of the other whistleblowers that had come to the surface, and these are people like Drake and guys, and I'll get into some
Benny.
Of those details as we have time. Yep, and a couple other people, and some staffers, some high level people in the government who were tasked with overseeing the programs, and they tried to go through normal channels. They tried to file. They tried to go through their superior. And some of these guys are like 40-year professionals, and decorated vets, war vets, and 40-year professionals who designed programs and systems, and saw things unravel, and saw the Constitution being stepped on, and saw, and Drake's big thing was he saw the warrantless wiretaps and that whole debacle. And, they tried to go through normal channels all the way to Congress. They testified everything else. Nothing changed. It got buried, and they went right back to doing what they were doing before. And now here we are in 2014 on steroids. And people who do pay attention to this, to what's going on, and they see the revelations, the new stuff that gets posted. You go to Fox and they have Feinstein and Rogers and King come on there and tell everybody, oh, it's, Rand, and, Snowden's a traitor and Rand's a traitor to the country because, he wants to do this lawsuit to make the government obey the Constitution. Excuse me? And they get these a-holes on there and, muddy up the water, and nobody will report on these past people. What's funny is, like Drake's case was like 2010 was when he was indicted. And, so we're talking, just in the last couple of years, and they still speak, and they still carry out their information, trying to get people to understand that the government is so far past anything normal or anything constitutional, and yet the media and the right and the left, the Dems and the Republicans, are protecting this stuff. And the scariest part is they're spying on people. You don't need all this crap to chase down bad guys. And that's the scary part. Why would they do this? Plus, it's so huge that things like Fort Hood, Boston, just slip right through the frickin' channel, and then they stand up there and on the news and tell you how important this is for our safety, and nobody in the news will challenge them on Fort Hood, Boston, open borders. What the hell? Do we even have a media anymore? Maybe we could do a whole show on that. It's just mind-boggling how numb people are to thinking about, adding up a few things like, okay, here's what's going on. They're supposed to keep us safe. Good. I believe in that. Just like I believe in just wars. And I believe if you're going to go to war, you kick ass, take names, come home. And you don't fund trillions of dollars around the world to countries who hate us. I believe that if you have an enemy, you take care of business and then you move on. And I believe that the NSA and the FBI and the rest of them are, and your local police is supposed to protect us. But how in the hell is collecting every bit of data on your life, including where you spend money on your credit card bill, protecting you? That's where you really have to sit down and say, what side am I on here? Am I on the side that says, well, I'm not doing anything wrong, so I'm not worried about it? Or are you on the side that says, I believe in the Constitution, I believe in my freedom, and I want an accountable government, and I want it inside the limits of its constitutional powers? Understanding, yes, we got this weird thing, this terrorist thing going on around the world, that's fine. But what does that have to do with groping my testicles at the airport? You know, that's why you just really, it's just mind-boggling to me how Americans have just rolled over on this thing, Rex.
Go ahead.
It's not all bad. I mean, you know, free groping of your testicles or a free mammary exam at the airport. I mean, at least you don't have to pay for it. Oh, wait a minute. Thanks to the Airbainer tax, you do have to pay for it. So does that classify the TSA agents as prostitutes? Because if that's the case, then I'm sure Harry Reid can get them a couple of million dollars like he did for the prostitutes in Nevada. The whole thing is sick, and I think you're absolutely right.
Well,
I mean, look,
that from the Mets.
Yeah, exactly. What do we need Mets for? We have whores. The simple fact is that we need a strong military. We need a spying apparatus. The problem isn't military or spying. The problem is unnecessary, unjust wars that don't threaten the United States and spying on every American citizen. Now, you know, the big PR debacle is that, you know, Obama was caught spying on Angela Merkel's private cell phone. That's fine by me. I mean, allies or foes, you can't trust any of them, so spying on all of them is just fine by me. But when you start spying on every American, that's a problem. Why are they doing it? Well, you mentioned two things in what you were just talking about. You mentioned, why are they spying on us and tracking all of our transactions and profiles on Facebook and everything else, and where's the free press? Well, I think these two things are related. I think that they're getting all this metadata to kind of profile where people's brains are in order to use propaganda the way Eddie Bernays suggested in order to manage how we perceive things and what we think. And that's precisely what is going on right now with the messaging over the RNC winter meeting that just took place here in Imperial City. They are messaging that these rules benefit the Republican nominee, benefit the electoral process, because by having a shorter primary period, remember, they're cutting the primary period from January through August to February through May. Now, who does that benefit? It benefits the biggest war chest candidate, which is always the Rhino.
Bush.
The establishment.
Bush.
Yeah. It's Bush. Well, I mean, for a while there, it looked like it might have been Christie, but I think that he was just a distraction. He's a pretty good distraction. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy's pretty sizable, so you can hide a lot of people behind him. I think, in fact, Christie's large stature was why they recently had to turn Hillary Clinton into a planet. Because they were worried that Christie had too much gravity, so they gave her own planet. Apparently, there's no white water on it, though. But I digress. In simple
or
terms,
Oval Office.
Yeah, oral office. her husband's oral office. I mean, think about it, right? If she wins, she's going to have to sit in the office where her husband was getting a blowjob from a 20-year-old intern. That's just weird.
Sorry.
You know what I'm saying? But anyway, we're not talking about...
I guess it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat.
Yeah, exactly. Or a rhino. But this is about managing perceptions, and the simple fact is that they shouldn't be doing this. It doesn't make you safer. It makes you more of a slave, and it's a slave along the – it's not, you know, like you're going to be in chains. It's a slave along the lines of Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, you know, happy servitude. So they make electronic cigarettes illegal because apparently the water vapor in those things is offensive, but they legalize marijuana so everybody's stoned out of their minds, and then you won't mind being slaves so much because they're spying on you. And all this social media stuff, everybody posting everything about their entire life to the public, well, you figure that if you're mentally prepared to throw your entire life out there for everybody to see, then, you know, you're probably not so worried that the NSA is taking a look at everything. But the problem is that you choose to put your shit on Facebook. You choose to go out on Twitter. You choose to leave your private documents around. You choose to go into a contract with Google and say, yeah, I'm going to give you some of my data. I'm going to share my credit card information with you. You don't choose to do it with the NSA. That's forced upon you in violation of the Fourth and Fifth Amendments, and it is exactly how they set up a police state in order to keep an eye on you so that they don't actually have to use force, because you'll start checking yourself with the latest politically correct nonsense and censor yourself so that you don't run afoul of the machine. And that's exactly what they're looking for. So my suggestion is don't friggin' cooperate.
Here.
Yeah.
It is the – I mean, you think about it. You know, the Russians were communists for 70 years. And there was a lot of people there and a very small percentage of people at the top. How do they control people? Fear. You know, you kill just enough people, torture just enough people, and put just enough people in the gulag, and then you get people spying on each other, you know, and everybody fears everybody, and you basically, you just kind of shuffle through life. and stand in line, you know, hopefully to get a pair of shoes. That is, you know, it's a methodology. It's a psychology. You look at any, you know, it's that groupthink game. How do you control the masses? The individual, and I've heard this before, we've talked about it, but, you know, people are smart individually. If you sit down with somebody and you have a conversation, you can usually find common ground and get people to see the bigger picture. But in a mass, they're crazy. They're insane. And that's where marketing all comes into play. And you talk about Bernese, right? And you talk about
Bernese,
Freud.
Bernese.
You know,
don't get salty.
Bernese, yeah, Bernese. I was thinking of food. But, you know, you look at the psychology, and I've been in and around marketing a good chunk of my life, and I've done thousands of meetings, you know, to groups. And there is a science behind this stuff, and they've been doing it a long time. And long before the internet formed, they had it figured out how to pump information into people's heads and get them to worry about this, not worry about that, look at this, don't look at that, you know, get upset over this, don't get upset over that, you know, and oh, fear this, don't fear that. And it's just basically they got this thing down. You know, and then you get about 70% of the country on meds, which we are now, including your children. You get a government school system that dummies people down. And then you move to the Internet. And everybody thinks they're so free on the Internet. The Internet is totally controlled, too. All you got to do is take Facebook as an example. Just look at the stuff that people post. You're like, that's the same crap they're telling you on the news. Quit, you know, focusing on that stuff. Number one, why in the hell would you trust the news any more than you, why would you trust Fox? You know, Fox is, the only guy that I know of back when Snowden first leaked his information was that brought on these past whistleblowers who had tried to do it the right way through the system, had their lives ripped apart, had the FBI yank him out of his shower, you know, a decorated war hero, 40-year NSA top-level guy. His partner had 6,000 people underneath him. These are people who said, we are breaking the Constitution. We are burning the Bill of Rights right in front of our face. They tried to do it the right way, and the government put the full force, including a gun in their face. One guy was yanked out of the shower, butt-ass naked.
And the kid was put on the ground. Yep.
Yeah, and the only guy on Fox that put these guys on the air was Hannity. And I'll give him credit for that because the rest of them are all they're doing is they're just, you know, they're putting Rogers on there and Feinstein and that madman King, you know, the Irish mafia from New York, you know, and they're just throwing, they're spilling this bowl. God, Snowden, you know, he's a Russians helped him. It was a Russian spy. And then that idiot, and I think it's in one of your clips, I don't remember what her name was talking about communist Hong Kong and communist Russia. And I'm thinking, Hong Kong's not communist, and neither is Russia.
Kimberly Guilfoyle.
You know, I mean, I'm just like, are you kidding me? You know, what color is your hair? I mean, it's just.
She's one of the ones that isn't blonde.
Yeah,
ironically,
she's
not blonde.
I was being facetious. You know, but you know, and that's the thing. That's the thing is if you don't know any better, and that's where you go get your news source, then you're going to be programmed. And then you're going to walk away and go, well, I'm not doing anything wrong, so it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And there you are. And that's where we are in America today. Every one of these, the NSA has had its hands slapped multiple times as these people have exposed these programs, including they were shut down, and then they restarted them after everybody looked away. I mean, it's mind-boggling when you actually do the research. Go back in history, go back, you know, and follow it forward and listen to some of these guys speaking, and you go, oh, my God, Snowden was not the first. I said that in the beginning. You know, I call
him
Snowman.
He might be the smartest, though.
Yeah. You know, people don't want to criticize him because he split the country. Well, if you saw what the hell they did to your other compatriots and these guys who were top-level advisors in the NSA, and they tried to do it through the channels, what the hell happened to them from the federal government? I left the country, too, you know, because he would never, and number one, the Whistleblower Act does not protect contractors. He'd have been screwed. And then there's new laws that have been passed, which even limits what can happen between you and your attorney in information flow. I mean, they have clamped down on this country so hard. It reminds me of, what was it? Communist Russia.
Back in the USSR.
Yeah. And a lot That's of what it reminds me of.
Yeah, Chris is right, though. You do have to educate yourself on this stuff because you got to make people aware of it, because if you're voting, you know, Republican, Fox News style, because you think you're a conservative and you're ending up putting people like Peter King in office who are all rah-rah-rah neocon wars and rah-rah-rah NSA, you're not doing yourself any favors and you're really not a conservative or a libertarian. But all that information to get caught up is available in Chris's group, which is Coalition of Freedom on Facebook. Join Chris's group, and you'll find big threads there. There's an entire thread on the NSA with lots of videos and articles and discussion about this topic, so get in there. And we want to thank all of you for sharing our show, because Chris and I don't get paid to do this, and we've got no marketing budget. The only way that people know this show exists is because you share it on Facebook, you retweet it, you post it all over the Internet, you tell people about it and get them to come in, and we really appreciate all of you for helping us with that. If you're on Facebook, go to Liberty's Thunder. That's our show page on Facebook, Liberty's Thunder. Like the page, and you will get notifications of when we are broadcasting in your newsfeed. Generally, it's 10 p.m. Eastern Sunday nights. We might be dropping that back an hour. We'll let you know. So like our page, and you'll find out there. And we might start bringing you some midweek shows just to take some calls and have a little looser discussion. But we got to blaze through because we've only got an hour and 20 minutes before we lose the live feed. If you're listening live, there's a bunch of you who are at midnight Eastern. You got to call in to listen on your phone because your browser will cut you off. That is 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. And if you're listening now, if you go below the scrolling graphics, you'll see a download button. Just right-click on that, and you get an MP3. You can play it in your MP3-enabled device, send it as an email to somebody, burn a CD, take it to your Campaign for Liberty meetings, your Tea Party meetings, your Republican Party meetings, your AA meetings, whatever. Just give it out to people. Get people involved. And if you're on Twitter, use hashtag Liberty's Thunder. That's one word, no apostrophe, Liberty's Thunder, to promote the show. And follow me, Rex Christie, on Twitter if you want updates. You mentioned a couple of names. Yeah, go ahead.
I have a question. You Fire talk away. About scrolling graphics. Okay.
Yeah.
In English, what does that mean? You're looking at the page. At the top, you got your toolbar list, and then you got your little picture of us, and then you go down, you get into the body of the actual recording, you know, the activity of the show. What are you talking about?
Well, right. If you go all the way down, there's the live chat, only when we're actually broadcasting live. But anytime
right.
you're listening to the show, there are some graphics that just keep changing. There's pictures of, like, Edward Snowden, Rand Paul. I forget what else I have there. Maybe Chevy Chase right now. Right below
right.
that, there's a hyperlink for download. Right-click on that.
Got it.
Clarify? Cool.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure people knew, because sometimes you look at websites and somebody says something really fast, and you're like, what?
Yeah, well, Blog Talk Radio is not the easiest thing to use, but, you know, Rex is not a professional radio host, so it's simple enough for me. Although sometimes we do run into
caveman.
Yeah, he has a big club, though. All right, T-Rex here. You mentioned a couple of names, Trog, Doctor. You mentioned, I believe it was Representative Rogers, who's allegedly a Republican, and Dianne Feinstein. Well, I've got a clip. It's not a short clip, and we've only got an hour and 20 minutes left. This is about a 13-minute clip, but it's very important to listen because it shows you how this spin about this unconstitutional, un-American police state is a narrative that is being spun by both the Republicans and the Democrats. They appear to be in opposition to each other, but the simple fact is that they are in collusion to bring you the police state. However, there is the Republican wing of the Democrat Party, which we call RINOs, Republicans in name only, but there are also real conservatives and real libertarians in the Republican Party. We need to support them. We need to help them win elections this year, and we need to send in reinforcements. That's what this is about. So every day you need to ask yourself, what three things did I do today to further the conservative cause of liberty by supporting real conservatives and real libertarians in their initiatives like Audit the Fed or the recent resolution that passed in the RNC winter meeting about the NSA, which Brian Daugherty and Nicole Reles have been talking about. Follow them. Look on Liberty Thunder. I posted a couple of things on my own page there, Rex Christie on Facebook. There's information about that. Support those initiatives. Which candidates are really conservative? Which candidates are really libertarian? And how do I either get them to keep their seat, like Justin Amash up in Michigan, or how do I help them? How do I help them win, like Joe Miller up in Alaska? Or how do I derail the rhinos, like Lindsey Lightness Loafers Graham, Mitch McConnell from Kentucky, the minority leader? Matt Bevin is running against him. Bob Bailout Corker. There's a lot of people we can dislodge and shift the balance. Because remember something, if all we get in 2014 is a Republican victory, that doesn't mean that we got a constitutional victory. It doesn't mean we got a victory for liberty. It doesn't mean we got a victory for freedom. It just means the Republicans won. Now the police state is run by Republicans as opposed to Democrats. You need conservative libertarian victors at the national level while you work on the local level to change the ballot access rules and open up the elections and be more fair about these things. So it's very important that you keep an eye on these things and that you do something every day. And the most important thing is, instead of sharing the same posts or even sharing our show back and forth to the same three people that you already know about us and know about liberty and know about the grassroots, expand the circle. If you don't create a force multiplier and get more people involved, we won't win. In 2010, the Tea Party victory in the Republican Party was with a 2% increase in turnout. You can do much more than that this year. Yeah, you can do much more than that in 2014 if you start working now to get those who are generally not involved, involved. You can go door knocking. You can donate money. You can make phone calls. You can get people
head
aware. Knock some heads if you need to. It's important that you do something every day other than just bitch about Obama. Because guess what? Obama's not going to change in the next 3 years. He's here. Even if they start impeachment proceedings, the guy's not going to be out before January of 2017. He's not really the problem. And if you think he's the problem, you don't know what the problem is. He's just the current socialist meat puppet of the corporatist Keynesian bankers. You need to fix the problem, not just get rid of Obama. So look at Congress. If the Republicans in Congress did their jobs, Obama couldn't be doing half of what he's doing now. But see, their issue is not to check the expansion of power. They just want to control that power.
Yeah.
You need people who are going to check the expansion of power. So let's listen real quick to Mike Rogers. Is it Mike Rogers? Whatever. Rogers and Hammerstein. No, I'm just, Rogers and Feinstein. here's
Feinstein.
The clip. That was the wrong clip. that was zombies from last week's zombie economy episode. But they kind of sound like that. All right, here it is. Chris and I will be back on the other side. It's about 13 minutes. It'll be the top of the hour when we start commenting on this. Pay attention to what they say. It's very important, and we'll read between the lines when we come back.
These guys are not our legitimate contacts. These guys are KGB Special Branch.
Oh, come on.
Don't tell me to come on. That was a Russian wristwatch. I know the country of origin of every timepiece in the world. That was a Russian copy of a 1969 Timex Digital.
What is this, some kind of a hobby with you?
Basic. Most common slip-up in espionage.
46 recommendations made to the president yesterday to curb, to reform the NSA surveillance programs.
Wolf, I'm really opposed to them. First of all, there is no NSA scandal. To me, this is this commission or this group is caving into political correctness. The fact is there are no Americans who have had their rights violated. No American citizens' calls are being listened to unless they are in contact with terrorists. No one's name is on file. No one's address is on file. This is a totally phony issue. And when I see someone like Rand Paul, who's a member of my party, somehow comparing Snowden and General Clapper, what is happening to our country when a United States senator compares a traitor with an American hero like General Clapper?
He said that on this program yesterday.
Yes,
I'm going to play that clip for you. Here's Senator Rand Paul talking about James Clapper, the director of national intelligence, the accusation he makes that he deliberately lied to Congress about the NSA surveillance programs and the comparison to Snowden. Listen to this.
Clapper's lying to Congress is probably more injurious to our intelligence capabilities than anything Snowden did, because Clapper has damaged the credibility of the intelligence apparatus, and I'm not sure what to believe anymore when they come to Congress.
All right, he's a fellow Republican. What do you say to him?
That is absolutely disgraceful to compare General Clapper with a traitor. The fact is General Clapper was put in an impossible position because the senator who asked the question had already gotten the information in a classified setting. He knew that General Clapper could not give the full answer because it would let our enemies know what we were doing. The question was wrong. General Clapper gave the best answer he could. And for Senator Paul to compare that patriot, General Clapper, with someone like Snowden, who was a traitor, who's put American lives at risk, Senator Paul should be ashamed of himself. It's an absolute disgrace. He disgraced me. He disgraced his office. And he owes General Clapper an apology immediately.
You believe this trick?
Let's get a response now from the chairs of the Intelligence Committees, Democrat Dianne Feinstein from the Senate, Republican Mike Rogers from the House. And Senator Feinstein, let me begin with you. You heard Mr. Greenwald and Senator Udall right there. They believe that the balance between privacy and national security is out of whack with these programs. Your response?
Well, of course, balance is a difficult thing to actually identify what it is. But I can tell you this. These programs are within the law. The business records section is reviewed by a federal judge every 90 days. It should be noted that the document that was released that was under seal, which reauthorized the program for another 90 days, came along with a second document that placed and discussed the strictures on the program. That document was not released. So here's what happens with that program. The program is essentially walled off within the NSA. There are limited numbers of people who have access to it. The only thing taken, as has been correctly expressed, is not content of a conversation, but the information that is generally on your telephone bill, which has been held not to be private personal property by the Supreme Court. If there is strong suspicion that a terrorist outside of the country is trying to reach someone on the inside of the country, those numbers then can be obtained. If you want to collect content on the American, then it's keeping America safe. Human intelligence isn't going to do it because you can't. It's a different culture. It's a fanaticism that isn't going to come forward. And so this kind of strictly overseen. It's overseen by the Justice Department, by inspectors general, by audits, by a 90-day review by the court, is looked at as a method. I'm very happy. If there's a better way, we will certainly look at it.
Let me bring that to Congressman Rogers, because you've also said you believe these programs are effective, Mr. Chairman. But what about this idea raised by Senator Udall that you reopen the Patriot Act and put more limits on particularly the phone record collection program, because he says that that hasn't helped. That's his suspicion, at least.
Well, I can tell you in the Zazi case in New York, it's exactly the program that was used. And remember, all of these programs, this is really important, George. I mean, really important. They are not, the National Security Agency is not listening to Americans' phone calls, and it is not reading Americans' emails. None of these programs allow that. As a matter of fact, the Patriot Act, and that part of that 702 says, it is expressly prohibited by law that you can read and wholly surveil domestic email traffic in the United States. So, you know, the inflammatory nature of the comments doesn't fit with what Dianne and I know this program really does. And let's just talk about the phone records just real quickly. What this is, and the reason this happened is after 9/11, we realized there was a big hole in our ability to fully identify all of the players in that terrorist plot. And one of it was by the fact that these business records, the phone billing information, is destroyed by these companies. They can't, expense-wise, it's really difficult for them to hold it. So this is what happened. The court said, put all of that information in a box and hold that information. And when you want to access that information, you have to use this very specific court-ordered approval process, which means it has to be a foreign person believed to be on a foreign land. So some notion that they can see a name that even comes out of that. By the way, this is important. No name comes out of that search. So even if they get a number, it doesn't have a name on it. This that allows them to do further investigation. But the number of times it's accessed is very, it's a fraction of a fraction, number one. And number two, it's no one can data mine that information. That's what's so frustrating.
Does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans?
No, sir.
It does not.
Not wittingly. There are cases where they could inadvertently, perhaps, collect, but not wittingly.
Senator Feinstein, I have to confess, I have a hard time squaring that answer with what we learned this week.
Well, I think this is this is very hard. There is no more direct or honest person than Jim Clapper, and I think both Mike and I know that. You can misunderstand the question. This is one of the dilemmas of talking about it. He could have thought the question had content or something, but it is true that this is a wide collection of phone records, as Mike said. No name,
where
no
this
content.
Is
produced good, has disrupted plots, prevented terrorist attacks, is all classified. That's what's so hard about this, so that we can't actually go in there and, other than the two that have been released, give the public an actual idea of people that have been saved,
programs,
attacks that have been prevented.
They're authorized by the court, by the way, only focused on non-United States persons overseas. That gets lost in this debate. Are pieces of the puzzle, and you have to have all the pieces of the puzzle to try to put it together. That's what we found went wrong in 9/11, and we didn't have all the pieces of the puzzle, we found out subsequently, to the Boston bombings either. And so had we had more pieces of the puzzle, you can stop these things before they happen.
Finally, we're just about out of time. I just want a quick answer from each of you on this. We saw that a crimes investigation has been opened. Is it fair to say that both of you believe that this investigation should be pursued and the source, if found, should be prosecuted?
I absolutely believe that someone did not have authorization to release this information. And why that's so important, George, is because they didn't have all of the information. I know your reporter that you interviewed, Greenwald, says that he's got it all and now is an expert on the program. He doesn't have a clue how this thing works. Neither did the person who released just enough information to literally be dangerous. I argue that there's other methods. He could come to the committees if they had concern. We have IGs that they can go to in a classified way if they have concern. Taking a very sensitive classified program that targets foreign persons on foreign lands and putting just enough out there to be dangerous is dangerous to us, it's dangerous to our national security, and it violates the oath of which that person took.
Now,
I absolutely think they should be prosecuted.
Perhaps Edward Snowden had some help from the Russian.
Well, a couple things. I said that he's likely to have had help. I think there are some interesting questions we have to answer that certainly would lend one to believe that the Russians had, at least in some part, something to do with either helping his capabilities. We noticed that a guy that was worried about privacy issues spent a lot of time, and as a recent DIA report revealed, stealing information, the vast majority of which had nothing to do with the NSA program and everything to do with our military capabilities, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, number one. He'd have to go and look for that information. There are some security things that he did get around that were clearly above his capabilities. The way he departed and how he ended up in Moscow. Now, we still have some questions there, but I can guarantee you he's in the loving arms of an FSB agent right today, and that's not good for the United States, and it's not good for the information to be shared with nation states that actually hinders and will cost us billions of dollars, by the way, Bob.
Right. Now let me say one thing about Mr. Snowden. I heard him on television say that he went there with the intent to scrape our systems, that he obtained a scrape tool. And he began to scrape over, I believe, a two-month period, as much as he could get a hold of. This isn't somebody who comes upon something and says, this isn't the right thing for the government to do. I want to go out and talk to people about it. He came there with the intent to take as much material down as he possibly could.
And do you think you agree with Chairman Rogers that he may have had help from the Russians?
He may well have. We don't know at this stage. But I think to glorify this act is really to set sort of a new level of dishonor.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Dianne Feinstein is outright lying.
when she says that she doesn't know of any instances of abuse at the National Security Agency. Leaving aside the fact that there have been several different reports by ABC News, by the New York Times, of the NSA abusing its eavesdropping powers over the last 4 years, there is a 2011 opinion, 80 pages long, from the FISA court, the secret court that oversees the NSA. And what it ruled, although the opinion is top secret and hasn't been publicly released, what it ruled is that the way in which the NSA is spying on American citizens is in violation of the Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution, as well as in excess of the limitations imposed by the statute, the FISA Amendments Act of 2008. In other words, what the NSA is doing is both unconstitutional and illegal. And so although the public doesn't have access to that opinion, shockingly, that in a democracy you could have a court rule the government has violated the law and the Constitution and keep it all a secret, Dianne Feinstein has access to that opinion. And so when she says into the camera that there's no evidence that she's aware of that the NSA has abused its spying powers, she's simply lying because she knows that the claim she's making is false. Secondly, as far as the outrage that she expressed, that Obama officials routinely expressed over the fact that China is hacking into our military installations and the like, she's right, they are doing that, but one of the things that these documents exposed, and that Mr. Snowden exposed to China, is that the United States is not only hacking into China's military systems, but also its civilian systems. And part of the reason why the Chinese government was unable to turn Snowden over to the U.S., even had they wanted to, was because public opinion in China and in Hong Kong was so enraged by that revelation that their text messages are being directed into NSA repositories that they simply couldn't, consistent with public opinion, hand Snowden.
That was Glenn Greenwald calling Dianne Feinstein a fracking liar. And he would know because he's the one that got all that leaked information from Snowden. Now, here's the interesting thing. We call Snowden a spy because he stole vital information. Well, none of the information that has been leaked so far has put any of our systems for tracking foreigners really in a compromised situation or terrorists, allegedly. But it has revealed that our government is operating out of constitutional bounds illegally and spying on all of us. If you're a spy, you work for a foreign government, and you steal vital stuff and you sell it to them for money. You don't take the stuff and put it out on The Wire using The Guardian newspaper and other sources and YouTube for everybody to see, because that kind of devalues the monetary worth of the information. So clearly he's not, quote, a spy. But what I found fascinating was they talked about all the oversight, right? The courts, the Justice Department, overseeing the NSA. What part of the federal government are all of those entities in? That would be the Executive Department. So basically what they're saying is that the Executive Department is overseeing the Executive Department. That's not exactly the separation of powers, checks and balances thing our government is based on, is it? So it's a very important conversation, but you notice there that you had a Republican and a Democrat who are always at each other's throats over their differences, but every once in a while they get together for bipartisan compromise, and that's when everything is actually okay and things get done for the American people. Well, the fact is, I want them at each other's throats, but unfortunately the Republicans and the Democrats aren't at each other's throats. Now, the Republicans and the Republicans are, because there are actually conservatives, libertarians, and constitutionalists in the Republican Party. And your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to grow those ranks. Because when the Republicans and the Democrats come up with bipartisan compromises, it generally means you are getting screwed. Doctor?
Yes, Doctor. You know, I was the whole thing, and that's a challenge with a long thread or a long audio clip, is trying to go back and remember. But one that really stood out for me was when they were talking about, he was making some chump excuses about, you know, after 9/11, our systems weren't what they should be, so we had to beef everything up. Okay, well, if you do the research and you go back to Biney and I don't even know how to pronounce the other guy, Kirk Weavey, these guys were top-level people who designed a system called FinThread for about $3 million that worked. One of the challenges when you at that time in our government with the NSA or anybody, business, all of us, was we went from analog to digital, and then the internet exploded. And so everything just kind of, technology was taken off so fast. The NSA was behind. These guys who had 70 years of experience between the two of them designed a program that worked, and it worked without compromising the Fourth Amendment, without compromising, you know, what we're all PO'd about. And here's what happened. They at 9/11 happened, and the director at that point in time, General, what was his name, General something, I'll trip over it in a minute, but they decided that, well, that ain't going to work. It's not big enough. It's not expensive enough, and we're a government agency, and I got all my contractor buddies, so we're going to build a new program and spend billions of dollars of taxpayer money, and we're going to leave that little $3 million program that you designed that works, kind of like the Obamacare website, same thing. You know, people have gotten on, you know, have come and testified saying, I could build this site for a couple million dollars. Not how much had they spent, Rex? $640 million, $700 million, $800 million, a billion by the time they're done? That's government. And that's what the NSA and all those defense contractors, remember, the Pentagon, this article came out, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, that says that the Pentagon has over $8.6 trillion since 1996 they can't find in an audit. $8.6 trillion. Our defense budget in this country is $640 billion a year, more than the whole world combined almost. Well, not anymore, not with China and Russia and India, but you know, the next 20 countries. So here's what happened was they tossed the program that worked, that was cheap, and they decided to build a whole new program, okay? They spent $1.2 billion and couldn't get it to work. So they tossed it, and then they went and decided to build a new program and spent billions and billions of dollars on it. Why? And when you get Rogers on there saying, well, after 9/11, we realized we were in trouble. Yeah, because the program that worked, you scrapped it. And that's the thing, that's the parts of what you and I try to do is do the research, piece things together, connect the dots. And then when you listen to these people come on Fox and spin their bull crap, you know they're lying. And that's the sad part about it is, I want my country safe. I want an enemy who does something bad to America or Americans to get their ass kicked into the ground and then come home. I'm not a pacifist at all. There ain't a pacifist bone in my body. And, you know, in terms of you know, some kind of peacenik libertarian type person, I'm not that way. I'm all for kicking ass and taking names. But but the lies and our economy, and they stand there and they lie and they lie and they lie, and then all these people, this series of people, whether it was Biney or Drake or the rest of them, including the lady who worked as the major staffer who was supposed to oversee congressional oversight of the NSA, they even had her under a frickin' microscope and came into her home with guns drawn when she was trying to expose crime. I don't know how else to say it. It was criminal what they did. People, they lied and people died. We pissed them on about Benghazi, Fast and Furious. This NSA thing, how safe do you think America is? Anybody here of Fort Hood? Anybody here of Boston? Anybody here of our open borders? Anybody here of we're getting ready to, you know, make 11, 12, 20 million people, you know, illegal with the stroke of a pen? We don't even know who the hell these people are as they pour across our borders because our border agents are told to stand down. I guess if we were doing the things that we were supposed to be doing, so our borders were secure, they were focused on the economy instead of stupid crap like Obamacare is going to destroy our economy, or, you know, when a president gets up there and says, no negotiations because America pays its bills, we're going to raise the debt ceiling. What, you're going to print and borrow money because America pays its bills? No. We have to print and borrow money because we don't pay our bills, because we aren't accountable to our economics. We are not accountable to the people who elect these people into power. So that's why they got to go print and borrow more money, because they're not accountable. That's it. That's the thing is, like, when you step back and you kind of, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, not 5, not 4, you know, and you start seeing this stuff, you start going, what the hell is going on? I mean, we think about this, Rex. I know I'm getting off here. Think about this. Hawaii got hit by the Japanese. In 3.5 years, we went from basically very nominal, not very much military. You know, everybody went home from World War One. Plus, there's a whole new level of technology. We fired up factories, fired this country up, built a war machine, went out and fought a war on multiple continents, 3 theaters of operation, you know, when you look at, you know, Germany, Japan, Italy, and won the war in 3.5 years. Millions, we mobilized tens of millions of Americans, plus our allies, and went out in 3.5 years, built a war machine, won, came home, and became very prosperous because we turned all those war factories, after we blew up everything in the world, into you know, new productivity and created prosperity that was was unheard of in the history of the world. That's the America I know. And this crap that's going on in this country today, and whether it's the NSA or the IRS or the AP scandal or Obamacare or Benghazi or Fast and Furious, I mean, you're just going like, this is a bad movie, you know? Yeah, am I upset? Yeah, and I'm not some Tea Party type person. I'm not a member type person. But it's like, holy crap, get the hell out of our lives. Do what you're supposed to do. Protect the country. Quit spying on us. Quit spending money. Quit pouring. What are we at? Running over $3 trillion a year? And they tell us that, you know, well, we got to have this budget. Well, yeah, because you're paying everybody not to work in the world, in the country. We have to borrow money from We have to borrow money from countries like Japan and China, which is our biggest debt holders, so we can buy their cheap crap. I mean, think about it. I have to borrow money from you so I can buy the car you want to sell me. It's that insane right now in this country. That's the world that we are living in 6 years later with the Yehu in power, and it's worse. And everybody's lying, and the news, including Fox, is covering it up. They will not talk the truth. They won't do their damn job. What is a reporter anymore? All they are is talking heads. Here's the data. 6 companies own all of the
repeaters.
News in this country.
Corporate
yeah, repeaters.
Yep, that's what they are. They're not journalists. They're not professional. Well, they're professional repeaters. That was a pretty good pirate. I liked it. You know what you sound like? You sound like you might be right to life, pro-gun, anti-gay. Sorry, that was my Cuomo impression. Incidentally, in Latin, Cuomo means pile of shit, but, you know, who knows what that really translates to. You're right. Look, the simple thing is that loving your country, wanting your country defended, wanting to use all the technological and military tools at our disposal to keep America free, that's patriotism. But using our military as a pseudo-empire builder for a few wealthy transnational corporatists and to spy on all of us to manage our minds and keep us in check, that's not America. That's not what we were supposed to be. That's a police state. That's Nazi Germany. That's Soviet Russia. And that's what we have to fix. So that's what this is about. And that's the thing you have to understand, because there are a lot of Republican voters who buy into this bullshit that Snowden is a traitor and that, you know, these leaks have put us in danger. Well, what danger?
Yeah, bull crap.
First of all, number one, what danger? Number two, well, you know, the Section 215 of the Patriot Act is really necessary, and this is what it's supposed to do because that's what keeps us safe. Really? Because they're trying to tell me that all the super apparatus and multiple agencies and multiple intelligence that they had prior to 9/11 didn't work because they weren't communicating with each other. So now that the Patriot Act allows them to communicate with each other, it's okay to spy on you. Huh?
I want to interrupt you really quick on Patriot Act, just to otherwise I'll forget this and then I'll bring it up again, then you can go on your roll. I'm sorry. But there was an FBI agent who wrote 70 70 letters to his superiors about one of the hijackers saying, this guy, something's wrong with him. He's taken lessons on how to lift a plane off the ground. He ain't taken on how to land a plane. 70 letters, and they didn't follow through with it. Now, spying on every piece of communication of every American and groping their testicles in the airport is not police work. Police work is when somebody goes, ding, I see a problem, and then you do proper legal work to follow through with it, and you catch the bad guy. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just had to get that out there.
No, that's
just
a good
one
point.
Case.
Yeah, that's just one case. But my point is that so they tell us that they fixed all these barriers to proper intelligence and finding the terrorists after 9/11, and that's why they have to spy on us and monitor our metadata, because that's how they catch the terrorists. Well, did they catch the Tsarnaev brothers in Boston? No. Did they catch the douchebag in Fort Hood? No. You know, so don't give me this crap. First of all, they've already got all the information that they could possibly get, and they can't make you safer. So maybe they shouldn't have all the information on me because I'm not the enemy. You see, sometimes these agencies need to bolster their budgets or show status that they're actually doing some good work.
Yeah. Contractors.
Exactly. So they want to get paid, so they have to make it look like there's a problem and solve the problem. The fact is that you have a higher chance of getting struck by lightning or shot by a militarized cop in this country or dying in a car accident than you do getting blown up by a terrorist. Okay? Now, does that mean that we pretend that there's no such thing as Muslim jihadi terrorists trying to kill us? No, of course not. They've been trying to do it for 14 centuries. It's nothing new. And, you know, well, we haven't had to deal with this sort of threat before. The first foreign military deployment of the United States government was to go to Libya to fight Muslim terrorists. So we've been doing this since the beginning. So don't give me this crap that, oh, you know, new technologies and it's all more dangerous. Come, give me a break. First of all, none of these terrorist organizations can do anything unless they've got financing and intelligence and apparatus from a state. Al-Qaeda was set up in Afghanistan, funded by Saudi Arabia. Right now, the Caucasus are going apeshit and they're trying to blow up Sochi in the Olympics, funded by Saudi Arabia. So, you know, the 9/11, right, the whole 9/11 thing where we had to go bomb Afghanistan and invade Iraq, all 19 of those guys were Saudis. So, you know, put things in proper perspective. And let's keep in mind, we've been talking about Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd and spies like us. They were in Afghanistan to fight the Soviets, right? Just keep that in mind. So why were they there fighting the Soviets? Because our CIA, intelligence, military was funding the Mujahideen, and we created Al-Qaeda. Now, I'm not saying that that was necessarily a bad thing at the time to stem the global expansion of the Soviet Union. But maybe you don't know this, but the USSR collapsed in 1989. So the Soviets are not a threat anymore. And Al-Qaeda is. Just think about that. So, you know, don't give me this crap that this is what's needed to stop terrorists. Okay? It's just like we had a shooting here in Maryland at the mall. Why do these shooters always go to schools and malls and churches?
They
go where other
people. Gun-free zone.
Yeah, they go where the people are not armed. When was the last time you heard of a spree shooting at a gun show or an NRA or some other kind of gun group's convention or at a shooting range?
Or my neighborhood.
They don't go there. Where do terrorists go? They go to easy, soft targets where they know that the people aren't armed and that nobody's keeping an eye on things. And no matter how many cameras you have and how many cops you have on every corner, they can still get in there and do some damage if they want to. But if they're scared of you because you're a strong, proud, united nation, they're not likely to attack you because they're afraid. That's how you beat
them. They're bullies. They're bullies.
Yeah.
Nothing more, nothing less. Hell, my son was in Iraq for almost 3 years. They're bullies.
The real terrorists wear boss suits and hang out on Capitol Hill. Terrorists like Peter King and Dianne Frankenberg or Feinstein or whatever the hell her name is and Rogers. And the real champions are the ones who are fighting them, like Rand Paul. and Ted Cruz and Justin Amash, not Johnny Boehner. By the way, Ohio, you sent Boehner back here, I swear, I'm going to declare jihad on Ohio if you send Boehner back here.
That was a joke.
All right, so, doctor? What's a dick for? believe it or not, we've only got 45
minutes.
If
people wonder why we keep doing all these little goofy things and who those weird parts of the clips are, in case, you know, you're not our age, Spies Like Us, Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, that's the movie that we're, the theme of the show is pulled from. So when you hear us say all these little goofy things, you're like, what the hell are these guys? What are they on? We're on Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd. Go ahead.
Maybe if you people weren't suppressed by high-compression tranquilizer pistols and knew how to use your Drogon's decoder rings, you'd be able to keep up. Speaking of keeping up, we're going to run out of time. I don't want to, you know,
already?
Make this a full clip show, but I do want to get into this RNC stuff. So let's wrap up. We've been talking about stuff that's pretty negative. You know, we've been talking about the NSA spying on us, the unconstitutional government, the surveillance state, the pseudo empire building abroad. It's all a little overwhelming, can be a little scary. Here's the thing. The only reason that they do stuff like this is because you are winning. You're winning, and they're scared. So instead of getting afraid and cowering, now is the time to double down and create a force multiplier, get more people involved. The biggest problem is that Republican voters, people who tend to vote Republican, are easily swayed by the Fox noise and the Internet and all this other stuff into thinking that you got to have a strong military, a strong intelligence apparatus to keep America safe, rah, 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 and that, you know, the Republican Party is being infiltrated by these libertarian kids and these damn, Lindbergh wing isolationists, and they're going to try to, you know, cow down and fold up so they're all going to become Chinese Muslims tomorrow. That is absolutely a caricature, and don't fall for it. Your job is to educate them. Okay, educate them that your liberty means nothing if you're willing to give up the Constitution to be safe. Okay?
Yeah.
That's not safety. Life is full of risk, and unfortunately people die, but more people die in any given day in America from the cold weather because they don't have heating oil because the prices are too damn high because of the Federal Reserve. More people die in car accidents. More people get struck by lightning. More people get eaten by cougars than get killed by terrorists. Okay? That doesn't mean the terrorists aren't a problem, but it's a pretty low threat to you right here at home. Just grow a pair of balls and stand up and be a proud American and quit hunkering down like a wussy and letting the government just run your life. So wake up those Republican voters that they should be supporting people like Rand Paul and Justin Amash on this NSA crap, not people like John Boehner and Peter King and this Congressman Rod. That's what you have to get to now.
Huge got defense contractor donations. And I want to read something from Snowden before you move on.
Go.
Oh, I just want you had said, you know, it's pretty negative, it's pretty tough. You know, we got a guy who, exposed some wrongdoing and, you know, is in another country hunkering down, has no idea where his future's at or not. And he did on January 23rd, he did a Q&A and actually answered several really good questions. He probably got hit with thousands of them. But one of the first questions that he was asked was, do you think it is possible for our democracy to recover from the damage NSA spying has done to our liberties? Mm-hmm. And he answered this. He goes, yes, what makes our country strong is our system of values, not a snapshot of the structure of our agencies or the framework of our laws. We can correct the laws, restrain the overreach of agencies, and hold the senior officials responsible for abuse programs to account. And I just thought that was a really uplifting, because I often think, you know, it's and that's why it's important to say, you know, in 3.5 years, we went from almost no military, especially compared to today, you know, and fought a war on multiple continents and won in 3.5 years. And then came home and went back to work and built the greatest country in the history of the world. I believe in America. I just don't believe in these a-holes that run it. That's the problem.
Well, they're running the government, or at least one of the governments. But, yeah, no, it's absolutely true. Look, the thing to understand is that things have been worse here before. This is not the worst
ever.
Yeah, we had
a civil war.
Granted, the country was split down the middle, and Lincoln decided to invade the South, and 750,000 Americans were killed. That was pretty crappy. Granted, that was probably punishment for having slavery in the first place, but that war wasn't about slavery. As all wars, it was about money and power. And that's what you have to understand. And right now, the wars have taken on a different tone. They're not fought along the Western Front anymore. There's no front lines anymore. The war is everywhere, so they decided to turn America into a battlefield. The only thing is, most of the enemy combatants, they're out here. And maybe if you secured the border, actually secured the border, then maybe they wouldn't even be able to walk here. But you see, they're going to push through this amnesty bill without securing the border, and they're going to tell you that you need the NSA to spy on every American in order to keep you safe. Logic would dictate that that's far less of an important thing than actually securing our border so that people we don't know aren't crossing it, people can come in through our front door and we know who they are. Think about that. They won't secure your border, but they tell you that they have to spy on you for safety, and you're buying it. Now, of course, you're listening to the show, you're not buying it, but other people are. You've got to wake them up and make sure that they don't buy this crap, because it is nothing other than a system of control, and they're pulling all this data to figure out how to market the next rhino to you. That's what these RNC rules were about. What's a rhino, Rex? A rhino's a Republican in name only. You look at that Republican platform. It's not great, right? But it's not bad. But they don't follow it. They follow the Democrat platform while pandering to the Republican platform, and people vote for them because, well, they're not as bad as the Democrats. Comparing something bad to something worse doesn't make the bad thing good. So wake up. Now, there are some people who actually believe in the Constitution, believe in liberty, and believe in a strong country that isn't afraid of our own shadows. And they're up there, and you need to send in force multipliers. 12 minutes here. We got a little Rand Paul in here, a little Sarah Palin, a little Edward Snowden.
Oh, right? Yeah. Good clip.
All right, here we go.
Well, what about that red Chinese radio chatter?
It's done. Here you go.
Done. That was a static-filled triple-scrambled microwave transmission between two soldiers talking in Mandarin Chinese.
Well, the Chinese were only using a simple polyphonetically grouped 20-square-digit key transposed in booster photonic form with multiple nulls. They broke it with this.
A Drogon's decoder wheel? They put these things into cereal boxes for kids.
Yeah, I found
it. I'm honored to have a chance to speak with you and your family this year. Recently, we learned that our governments, working in concert, have created a system of worldwide mass surveillance, watching everything we do. Great Britain's George Orwell warned us of the danger of this kind of information. The types of collection in the book, microphones and video cameras, TVs that watch us, are nothing compared to what we have available today. We have sensors in our pockets that track us everywhere we go. Think about what this means for the privacy of the average person. A child born today will grow up with no conception of privacy at all. They'll never know what it means to have a private moment to themselves, an unrecorded, unanalyzed thought. And that's a problem, because privacy matters. Privacy is what allows us to determine who we are and who we want to be. The conversation occurring today will determine the amount of trust we can place both in the technology that surrounds us and the government that regulates it. Together, we can find a better balance, end mass surveillance, and remind the government that if it really wants to know how we feel, asking is always cheaper than spying. For everyone out there listening, thank you.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Well, you know, they all, it's the whole ball of wax that all leads to this revelation that government lies, unfortunately. And with Benghazi, though, government lied and people died. So that's very, very significant. The other issues are government lied and government spied. That's pretty bad, too. But, you know, I think the Benghazi issue where brave, innocent Americans lost their lives in defense of our country, our freedoms, is quite significant because we still don't have truth in regards to what happened there.
And that was part of the message of the Tea Party. Hey, everybody, Washington, D.C. is spinning out of control. It's getting bigger and bigger, and now as we're learning with the IRS, the NSA thing, they're keeping an eye on us.
It's a foundational message of the Tea Party grassroots movement, and that is that government is out of hand. It is oppressive. It is intrusive into every aspect of our lives, and it's grown so large that it is unaccountable at this point.
Let's talk about Edward Snowden, if we could. Now we find out he's got additional leaks, as he promised. Now he's saying, oh, yeah, on the G20 summit, we spied on Dmitry Medvedev in a sophisticated, a series of Internet shops where they went in, and we had a way of infiltrating. They also say the British were spying on the entire roster of G20. How does this help America become safer?
Well, first, I really don't think that Snowden is the issue, though, in any of this.
The British were spying on the entire roster of G20. How does this help America become safer?
Well, first, I really don't think that Snowden is the issue, though, in any of this. I think that the issue, again, is that government is so large and so intrusive in all aspects of life that, we need more revelations. We need more truth about what our administration is doing so that we can hold our government that works for us.
Well, what I think I heard was that if you like your privacy, you can keep it. But in the meantime, we're going to keep collecting your phone records, your emails, your text messages, and likely your credit card information. So I didn't hear any lessening of the spying on Americans or collecting records of Americans. I heard that, trust me, I'm going to put some more safeguards in place, but I'm going to keep right on collecting every American's records. This is something that's going to have to be decided by the Supreme Court. I think there is a real fundamental question whether one general warrant can apply to millions of people's records. And I think it's incorrectly being done, and the Supreme Court's going to ultimately have to decide on this.
You've actually filed a lawsuit. Remind our viewers, what is so irritating, upsetting to you?
Well, the thing is that, he mentioned Paul Revere, but Paul Revere was warning us of the British coming. He wasn't warning us that the Americans are coming. You know, the thing is that the lesson from the American Revolution that the president, I think, misunderstands is that we were upset about British soldiers writing their own general warrants, like national security letters, that allowed them to go into the colonialist house and look at their papers. We didn't like that. So we wrote the Fourth Amendment to say warrants have to be individualized. They have to name specifically the person and the place. We didn't want a dragnet where everybody's information was held, whether it's held by the government or a private entity. I'm not so sure I'm more or less concerned by having a
We'll get your analysis of potentially what it means. And obviously there were a lot of mistakes leading up to 9/11. What they're trying to do is learn from those mistakes to make sure there isn't another 9/11. Let's say the U.S. intelligence community learns that there is a terrorist in Yemen or Somalia or Afghanistan or someplace in a sensitive area. They have the cell phone. They're monitoring that individual's cell phone. That individual makes a call to someone in Louisville, Kentucky, in your home state. What's wrong with the NSA then getting a court order from the FISA court, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, and trying to find out what that phone conversation between Somalia and Yemen, that terrorist suspect there, and someone in Louisville?
I have no objection to having a warrant for a specific person to look at phone calls. And if we then get a warrant, we find out the person in Louisville is connected to the person in Yemen, then we get a warrant for all of their phone calls. If they called 100 people last month, we look at those 100, and then we ask the judge for another warrant. So I don't care if it's 10 hops out with a warrant, but for the president to say, oh, we're only going to abuse the Fourth Amendment twice and not get warrants by hopping twice, not three times, it's either proper or improper, and there is a proper way of doing this, and this is with a judicial warrant individualized to the person, and then you can go and look at their friends with another warrant. We do this all the time. At 4 a.m., if there's somebody who's a potential murderer or rapist or you name it, we just call a judge and get a warrant, but we separate the police power from the judicial power. That's why we have to, I think, really reassess whether or not police officers or FBI agents should write their own warrants. I think only judges should write warrants.
At one point in the speech, and the president spoke for about 45 minutes, Senator, he made this point. Let me play this little clip.
After an extended review of our use of drones in the fight against terrorist networks, I believed a fresh examination of our surveillance programs was a necessary next step in our effort to get off the open-ended war footing that we've maintained since 9/11. And for these reasons, I indicated in a speech at the National Defense University last May that we needed a more robust public discussion about the balance between security and liberty. Of course, what I did not know at the time is that within weeks of my speech, an avalanche of unauthorized disclosures would spark controversies at home and abroad that have continued to this day.
He then went on to mention Edward Snowden specifically. He said, given the fact of an open investigation, I'm not going to dwell on Mr. Snowden's actions or motivations. Where does Edward Snowden, from your perspective, fit into this current debate and these proposed reforms the president put forward today?
You know, I think it leads to whether or not you think the president is genuinely concerned or not. I don't think we'd be here, and I think there'd be absolutely no reform had there not been the releases by Snowden. Now, it's a separate question, you know, what to do with him and whether he broke the law, which I think he did, and how he should be punished. But the thing is, we wouldn't have any of this information and we wouldn't have any discussion. But what I think the president misunderstands is he thinks when there's a problem and there may be a potential for abuse of problems, he'll get some lawyers together that all work for him, and then they'll review it and put more safeguards on it. The NSA cannot oversee themselves. The administration or the executive branch can't oversee themselves. That's why we separate these powers. But we separated the police power from the judiciary power. So we can't have internal lawyers kind of looking at this and saying, oh, well, let's try to make sure everybody's privacy is taken care of. See, really, he's not going to fundamentally change any of this. Many of us think it's an invasion of our privacy to have our text messages collected, our emails collected, our phone records collected, and likely our credit card statements collected. We think that's an invasion of privacy, simply the collection, unless you get a warrant from a judge for a specific person that there's probable cause to think that they've committed a crime. That's the way our country was set up, and so what he's talking about is a different kind of country than our founding fathers envisioned.
He did say at one point that even though there should be a healthy skepticism, he found no evidence that there has been any abuse by anyone at the NSA as far as the personal privacy records of the American citizens. You heard him say that.
You know, I think that if you look back through the record, though, the FISA court actually has rebuked the NSA on several occasions and said that they were doing things they shouldn't be doing. But I have a fundamental problem with the FISA court. It's in secret. And so you can't discuss and determine the extent of the Fourth Amendment or the extent or circumspection or circumscription of the Constitution in secret. It has to be done in public. So one of the reforms that I've proposed, and I have legislation that would do this, would say that if you're given a FISA court order and you want to challenge the constitutionality of it, it should go to an appellate court and to the Supreme Court. Right now it's a dead end in the FISA court. A secret court and a secret judge without adversarial, without arguments on both sides. Only the government argues in FISA. That's not the way you can determine what is and what is not
all
constitutional.
All these great things
about my privacy, except for he really, between the lines, told me he's going to continue to collect all of my private records without a warrant. So he says the right thing. I think his heart really is in the right place, and I think his motives are not bad. Neither do I think James Clapper's motives are bad. I think they want to protect the country. But I don't think that there's enough of a healthy respect for the Fourth Amendment, and there needs to be a limitation to government power, and I see this as virtually unlimited power to look at our records, and it really needs to be reined in.
Doctors?
Doctor?
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 We're not doctors. We've got to get out of this place immediately, if not sooner.
Well, we're not doctors, but Dr. Rand Paul's a doctor, and he also happens to know the Constitution and a little bit about economics and how to be a senator, and he is actually causing the rhinos a lot of consternation and problems up there. Because the rhinos want to speak against the Democrats and speak against Obama while furthering the same dastardly agenda. Now, here's the real problem. And you heard Rand Paul there. He knows what he's talking about. He's fighting the good fight up there. He's not alone. Unlike his dad, who was pretty much alone up there on the Hill, he was the lone voice of reason after they booted Gingrich out. It was Dr. Ron Paul was alone. But
Rand is not alone. He's got allies and friends. Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, Justin Amash, Trey Gowdy, Louis Gohmert. There's a growing contingency of real conservatives and real libertarians up there. Not enough. Your job is to get those numbers to grow. Now, here is how the division comes down. They tell you stuff like, Rand Paul's hyperbolic and making a big deal out of nothing. The NSA thing isn't that bad. We have to give up some of our liberty in order to have security, and he's just appealing to impressionable libertarian kids in their dorm rooms. Well, I'm not a libertarian, and I've never lived in a dorm room, but I like Rand Paul because he's smart, because he's articulate, because he speaks it well, and he knows what he's talking about, and he believes it. What they try to do is get rank-and-file Republican voters to fear this libertarian, isolationist, extremist Tea Party wing that's infiltrated this great party of moderates and reasonable people like King, Boehner, McConnell. I mean, come on, give me a break. These people are nuts. And people are buying this crap, okay? And one of the problems with being heavily involved in grassroots is you tend to talk to other people that are heavily involved in grassroots. Your job is not to, I mean, yeah, obviously got to listen to shows together and work with each other, support each other, but your job is to go out into the wider world where people have their minds numbed by the likes of Fox News and get them to understand that this is a proper constitutional position. It doesn't make us less safe. It makes us safer, and it makes us stronger and freer. And you have to get them off the fear to really understand this and start working together. If libertarians, not big L libertarians, small L libertarians, libertarian-leaning conservatives, conservatives, Tea Party people, Reagan conservatives, Gingrich conservatives, Ron Paul conservatives, if we are fighting with each other about this stuff, we remain divided and we lose. And what happens? It doesn't matter if there's an R or a D up there. We get screwed and we lose our liberty. It's just that simple. The enemy is organized. The Democrat Party, I mean, yep. Hillary's campaign is already in high gear. They are organized. The rhinos running the RNC, what Pat Goodell called the CLEC, the Consultant Lobbyist Establishment Complex, they are well-funded and they are organized. And in 2010, they appropriated the Tea Party and convinced you to vote for rhinos. Not all of them, but some of them, like Marco Rubio. So what you have to do is band together, truly vet your candidates. And that doesn't mean nitpick on them. Why was Rand Paul saying nice things about Clapper and Obama? Screw Rand Paul then. Rand Paul has to work with these people. He has to be diplomatic. He has to get along with them. He has to endorse someone like Mitch McConnell. Oh, well, then is Mitch McConnell a rhino and is Rand a rhino or is he selling out? Or is Mitch McConnell really conservative? No, Mitch McConnell is a big-ass rhino. Rand Paul cannot not endorse him because Rand Paul is the junior senator from Kentucky, and Mitch McConnell is currently the senior senator from Kentucky. A lot of money, a lot of clout, and happens to be the minority leader. So if you like it that Rand Paul was on the Foreign Relations Committee telling the other members, I don't want to vote to fund Al-Qaeda to go kill Christians in Syria, or you like him on the other committees where he's got the audit, the Fed bill, and he's actually grilling Janet Yellen on real questions, then he cannot go toe-to-toe with Mitch McConnell because otherwise he'll be locked out. Look what happened to Justin Amash over in the House
yep.
when he pissed off Johnny Boehner. You see, these guys are behind enemy territory. They have to be nice. You know, Rex and Trog are just a dinosaur and a caveman with a microphone. I can say whatever the hell I want to say. So screw Mitch McConnell. And your job is to get Mitch McConnell off Rand's back, not to bitch about the fact that Rand endorsed him. That's the kind of stuff that keeps us divided. Well, I'm an ANCAP. I'm a libertarian. I'm more, you know, I want to legalize pot. Quit focusing on ancillary crap as the country is falling apart. You're being spied upon. We're building a pseudo-empire abroad. We're printing more money than anybody's ever imagined in history, and the whole country's collapsing. Quit focusing on that ancillary crap and learn to get along and work together in order to send conservative libertarian, and libertarian candidates up there so that we can roll this thing back. Doctor?
Doctor?
Yeah, great points. You know, I listened to a clip today that I had not heard before, and it had Rand on it because you were speaking about, you know, what's Rand doing on some of these points where people freak out. Just like the Romney situation, he said he would endorse a candidate, you know, and he would help him. You know, it was either that or, you know, let the socialists or communists win again. You know, it's pretty simple. And when you have some maturity and time under your belt, you start to realize that some battles are not, you know, they don't take you anywhere. And you've got to pick your battles and you've got to be smart. And it's a long-term plan. And if you blow yourself out of the water and you cause enough trouble, you lose your positions. You lose your positions on whatever you call them. I lost my brain. Anyway, you know, on committees and things like that. So it's really, you know, it's important to understand that. But I watched this video, and Gregory, CNN Gregory, over at Communist News Network, was interviewing Rand Paul. Every question he asked him was to try to set him up and make him look like a libertarian kook. Every one of them was a setup question. And Rand was smooth. You know, I know that he knows, because of the way they treated his father, that he had a tough row to hoe. And so he's using his brain, he's fighting the smart battles, and he's building himself into a position where people will give him credibility. Hell, there was times when Ron Paul had number two on a poll in different states in the primary, and they didn't even mention his name. They said, oh, number one is this, and number three is that, and number four is Santorum. They didn't even mention his name. You know, they did whatever they could to basically black him out of the primary. The thing is, he had such a huge grassroots movement that he had built over his career, and he was reaching the people that, you know, that carried him right to the convention, and they had to basically steal, you know, him from being nominated from the floor. You know, not that he would have won, who knows. But, you know, you can get nominated from the floor, you know, from your delegates, and he had enough. And they had to, you know, I mean, they just, the things they did, and for people who have not studied that little bit of history, you're clueless about the corruption inside the upper ranks of the RNC. And you need to get educated. And hell, we've done, how many shows have we done on that, Rex? You know, between all of us,
I lose count.
We covered all that. Yeah, we covered all that. Multiple shows. I mean, the videos and the articles and the information. But you weren't going to hear it on mainstream media. The only media personalities covered it was the communist. What's her name? Rachel Maddow and Ben Swan on the other side. And nobody else would even touch it. They didn't even want to mention, you know, the corruption, the thuggery, the law breaking, basically, that the RNC went through to make sure that Romney got the nomination. It was disgusting. Even Romney admitted it. I don't even know that he knew that he admitted it when he was doing that interview for his new wonderful documentary that came out. You know,
I don't think he did.
I don't know how people can. Yeah, he probably didn't care. I mean, he was on with Jimmy Kimmel trying to look cool the other day. But anyway, it's just important to understand that, you know, you've got a huge war going on here, and you got people who are fighting the good fight. And I don't really care about the party per se. It just happens to be that they're in the Republican Party. And when you look out across the board, across the nation coming up in 2014, you know, it's going to be an R or D 99% of the time. So, you know, you've got to make some states have got primaries they need to focus on, and see who's primary McConnell or Graham or whatever the case may be. Other states, I don't have senators up for election. Some states do. You know, what is it, half, 33, 34 senators are up for reelection. All of the House is up for reelection. They're going after the good guys like Massey and Amash, you know, trying to knock them off their seat, their own party. You know, here we should be worrying about the Communist Party takeover, and these a-holes are trying to knock off good, reliable, honest people who believe in the Constitution, the rule of law, limited government, sound fiscal policy. I mean, oh, my God, that's so extreme, Rex. Back to you, Doctor.
Doctor, Yeah, well, this is, they're trying to paint this as some kind of new civil war in the Republican Party because of these Tea Party extremists and libertarian infiltrators. Now, there is some truth to that, because you see, the Republican Party for most of its history has been nothing but a big government Keynesian bullshit party. That's just the facts. Get used to it.
Yep.
Reagan was an exception. Gingrich was an exception. Ron Paul was an exception. Okay? But this battle has been going on at least since World War II.
Yeah.
Okay? That's how long this new civil war has been going on. The important thing to understand is that the infiltrators are the actual conservatives, the ones who actually espouse what Republicans say they stand for. They're the ones who believe in the Constitution, in sound money, in fiscal responsibility. The fact is that the media, the controlled media from Fox News to MSLSD, the Washington Compost, and everything in between, Levin, Limbaugh, Hannity, doesn't matter. Okay, the media has changed the narrative, and we have moved so far to the left, understanding when I say left and right and when Trog and I say left and right on this show, on the left is absolute government. And it doesn't matter if it's a dictatorship, oligarchy, monarchy, or democracy. It's total government. And on the right is anarchy, no government whatsoever. We are supposed to be slightly to the left of the far right, just shy of anarchy. That's where the Founding Fathers put us. And what's happened is we've moved so far to the left that if you happen to stand in the middle as a moderate, you are now a far-right extremist, because the narrative has moved to the left, not because your principles have changed. That's the problem. And that's why guys like Bill O'Reilly and Bernie Goldberg are so full of shit, because they hold themselves out as conservatives and moderates and blah, blah, blah. And what they really are way left of center, just slightly to the right of Che Guevara. That's the problem. And, and most Republicans buy this crap. People are believing that, well, maybe we are actually being too extreme. Maybe we need to compromise more. You know, compromise is when you're willing to give up a little bit to get a little bit on the fine-tuned details. Not when you sell out your principles. Not when you sell out your Constitution. Not when you say that because of Muslim jihadi terrorists flying airplanes into the World Trade Center, we have to get every text, every email, every phone call, every keystroke. You know the NSA has a keystroke logging program. They look at every keystroke that you put there. Oh, well, there's only 22 of them. They can't see all those keystrokes. Sure they can't. What do you think the Utah data center is about? They're storing that stuff there so that if you don't go along, if you don't get managed by the television and the news feed on your Facebook and your Twitter feed and all that crap, if you don't get managed properly, you actually think for yourself and you're a bad cog, they'll go back and get that stuff. Then they'll find something to do with you. That's how it works. In a police state, so long as you are a complicit and compliant tool, you won't really have a problem. Your life will be worthless, but you won't have a problem. You'll be fed. You get to walk to work. You get to eat the crappy government cheese. You get the, you know, crappy government inoculations and shitty doctors and all that stuff. But you're not really a problem. But if you think for yourself, if you say something like, hey, you know what, I'm supposed to be free in America. I want to practice my religion. I want to stand up. I want to keep my property. I want to speak my mind. That's when they come to get you. And that's where we're going. And that's what this
well,
is about. You want to get into Snowden a little bit before we move on to
well,
what
I was
going to say.
I want to read one thing, but I was just going to throw out an example of, you know, look at the guy who did the movie. How do you pronounce his name? Dinesh?
Oh, Dinesh D'Souza?
Yeah, D'Souza. You look at situations where you look at that German family who left Germany, came to America because they wanted to homeschool their children, and they're Christians. And, you know, they applied and blah, blah, blah. Everything was great. And then Obama's administration and Holder get up, and they challenge their ability to stay in this country, and they get them kicked out of this country while our borders are wide open and we sell guns to drug dealers. That's the insanity that we're living, you know, and I'm all for, you know, you figure out what the laws are, you make them, and you follow them, and you enforce them, and whatever they may be, that's, you know, what we have a Congress for.
problem is nobody enforces anything that needs to be enforced that guarantees our safety or our future or economic stability. And they go after people. Look at the IRS situation. Look at the D'Souza situation. Look at this couple, this family, you know, being deported because they want to practice a religious freedom. This is getting ugly, and it's going to get worse because people won't focus on the good things. You need to quit. I mean, when I watched the interview with Boehner on Leno, and, you know, I thought I was going to chew my nails off, you know, listening to this man talk. First thing he said.
You're going to chew your nails off because I'm about to play that.
Yeah. I mean, oh, are you? Good, great. But, you know, I mean, the guy's talking about, well, I went along with him because, you know, if you're a leader and you're walking and nobody's calling you, then, you know, you're not a leader. And I'm like going, yeah, that means you're not a freaking leader. You know, and basically he came right out, same with McConnell, same with McCain. Yeah, it was the Republicans' fault. It wasn't Republicans' fault. They were trying to save the damn country from Obamacare. How is it working now that it's been enacted? The country's falling apart. People, 5 million people lose their insurance. We've got people, you know, changed our deal here in the Washington state because our government sold out to the Medicaid money or Medicare money. And now we got thousands and thousands and thousands of new people at a new start point for Medicaid, and doctors around here for the last 3 or 4 or 5 years have been quit taking patients. I mean, it's a mess. My wife and I were just going over our plans and what's available, not and this and that, and we're like, what do you do? You know, a $640 million freaking website that doesn't work. They still haven't got the back end figured out. Now we're talking about bailing out the insurance companies. They help write the damn law. This country is in a mess. 6 years of, I mean, this guy, he got in power, he had two years of full Democrat control, and he built the government out. He expanded government employment while the rest of us couldn't find work or people were losing their homes. Government expanded. Government employment expanded. They passed Obamacare, $800 billion frickin' bailout, which was nothing but a bribe to all the states to help them get Obamacare passed. I mean, I live in a state. You know, I mean, it was just, you know, Patty Murray is one of my, God, how embarrassing to say that, you know. These people sold out, and he printed up and put us in debt for $800 billion to pay off all the blue states. That was what that was just a bribery game. There weren't any jobs created. It was bailout money on top of TARP, all of it. And here we are 6 years later, and I don't want to just focus totally on, you know, Obama's all bad because it started in the Bush era. You know, they had 5 debt ceiling increases in the Bush era. These, the war on terror. What's that mean? I don't know. Wherever we got to go and blow shit up. Yeah, let's go. Trillions of dollars in the frickin' hole. And guess what? Iraq's falling apart. Afghanistan's falling apart. It didn't work. And there was people trying to speak out against it back then saying this is insane. What's the goal?
Traitors.
Blow it up. Who cares? Keep blowing it up. Yeah, we got a $600 billion a year. But you can't make guns and bombs and planes and jets, and you got to use them, baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
If you have a weapon, you got to use it, just like the general and spies like us said. No, you're absolutely right. Listen, in about 5 minutes, we are going to lose all of our live listeners because Blog Talk Radio is going to go dead in your browser. So if you want to keep listening live, you have to call in before midnight Eastern, 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. If you're listening in archive, just keep on rolling. We're going to try to wrap up in the next 30 minutes. Real quick, Trog, you want to fire off a couple more of Snowden's points before we shift gears and listen to crying tan Johnny Boehner at Jay Leno's couch?
Yeah, I'm just going to read one because his answer's long, but it's very important, and it has to do with something you said. That's why I sent you that message saying I want to read this. Somebody asked Snowden, what's the worst and the most realistic harm from bulk collection of data? Why do you think it outweighs national security? Snowden's response, the worst and happening right now harm of bulk data collection, which, again, is a for mass surveillance is twofold. Yeah, thank you. Number, well, I got on a roll there, so I lost it. The first is the chilling effect, which is well understood. Study after study has shown that human behavior changes when we know we are being watched. Under observation, we act less free, which means we effectively are less free. Second, less understood but far more sinister effect of these classified programs is that they effectively create a permanent records of our daily activities, even in the absence of any wrongdoing on our part. This enables a capability called retroactive investigation. This is important. Where once you come into the government's attention, we've got a very complete record of your daily activity going back under current laws, often as far as 5 years. You may not remember where you went to dinner on June 12, 2009, but the government does. The power these records represent can't be overstated. In fact, researchers have referred to this sort of data gathering as resulting in databases of ruin, where harmful and embarrassing details exist about even the most innocent individuals. The fact that these records are gathered without government having any reasonable suspicion or probable cause justifying the seizure of data is so divorced from the domain of reason as to be incapable of ever being made lawful at all. And this view was endorsed as recently as today by the federal government's Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board. Fundamentally, a society in which, hold on, I gotta zoom in here. Fundamentally, a society in which the pervasive monitoring of the sum of civil activity becomes routine is turning from the traditions of liberty towards what is inherently liberal infrastructure of preemptive investigation. What was that movie with Tom Cruise?
Minority Report, pre-crime.
A sort of qualified state, quantified state where the least of actions are measured for property. I don't seek to pass judgment in favor or against such a state in the short time I am here, only to declare that it is not the one we inherited. And should we as a society embrace it, it should be the result of public decision rather than the closed conference. In other words, the fear factor. You know, I wonder how many people are just freaked out about their computers, their technology, their email every time they get online, you know, to look at something or to search something or to send an email to a friend or have a talk about something political or let's talk about abortion, you know, and I'm pro-abortion. So all of a sudden I got to worry that, oh my God, I could be monitoring. I'm the enemy because we're those right-wing extremists. You see where this is going? This is so dynamic and it's so powerful. If you go back and you talk to anybody who was ever part of the Hitler era or Mussolini or you know, I had friends that had when I lived in Alaska,
FDR.
I had a friend that was he was USSR. He was an escaped journalist who had escaped the Iron Curtain, and he was a friend of mine. And we used to sit down and have conversations about what it was like. And I don't know what's wrong with Americans. We're so spoiled and so over-zapped, you know, with information through the internet or movies or games and sports and American Idol, that we just don't stop and ask ourselves, what's important to me? You know, because I'll tell you, it's things are changing fast, and watching the news and watching the way they're handling this whole conversation, you know, and the way they're covering things up and all this past information, when you go back and look at the past whistleblowers and the things that were uncovered, And it's right there on the freaking internet, or it's on the group. You can go there. I've got it all listed out. You can just look through the stuff, read the articles, listen to these guys speak, listen what's in their heart, listen to what happened to them, and you just go, wow, that's not my country anymore. And where's it going from this point forward? And running at home and hiding from this crap doesn't change anything. They are gearing up for an election. Why? Because they want to win. Why? Because they have this goal of converting America into some state of a larger global government kind of environment where we're just a piece of it all. You have to take away individual freedoms to increase the size of the state. That's always
great. I
mean,
new world.
The bigger you are, the more laws you have. So you look at it now and you think that, wow, I don't like the way it is now. Well, can you imagine it when you're part of some UN-controlled government? And we're just a small state of all that. Yeah, well, but you know what I'm saying. And so that's the direction they want to go. So does that make it, whatever their vision is, I don't want to say good, bad, or indifferent, but that's their vision. You give them power in 2014 and then 2016, and that's where we will be, because that's what they've been working on for 100 years. It's that simple. And, you know, it doesn't have to be some conspiracy theory. This goes on for 100 years. They tried it with the League of Nations. We used to have senators in those days that actually fought it, and they wouldn't sign up for it. They came back after World War II, and they did it with the UN, and here we are. 60, 70 years later, here we are with everything
incremental
you do
statism.
Being spied. Yeah, and how incremental? My parents are still alive, so it's been pretty quick.
Well, I mean, yeah, relatively speaking, it's quick, but it's incremental in the sense that from day to day you don't necessarily notice it. I mean, look, Snowden blew the doors off this thing back in June. Media is barely even touching on it other than to smear him as a Russian spy with no basis in fact to actually say that. But you put the idea out there, you repeat it often enough, and people repost it on Facebook, and before you know it, Snowden is a Russian spy, so we don't have to worry about the NSA. Go back to sleep.
I saw Snowden, a picture of Snowden on Putin's horse, so maybe Putin was there with him.
Yeah, who knows? In any event, it is literally that crazy, and the fact is that the political correctness has been cowering our culture for a long time. And now that you know that anything you do or say in any quarters, because they can turn your phone on, because they can look at what you typed on the keyboard, because they can actually fly a drone over your house and look into your house, you start to really check yourself even more. And when they make you fear so much that you check your thoughts, your liberty has already gone poof, and it's just that simple.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. We're almost out of time. We're actually, in the third hour of the show. We got to go real quick, but I want to get to this interesting phenomenon of using the media to manage the way you think. And an entertainment show called The Tonight Show, which is currently hosted by Jay Leno, was about to be replaced by, I forgot his name already, the little guy. Anyway, Jay Leno's still on there right now. John Boehner, Speaker of the House, goes there to appeal to the masses as a nice, jovial guy, okay? And why is he doing this now? Well, the RNC, that's the Republican National Committee, just had their winter meeting where they were setting up the rules for how business is going to be conducted in the nomination process for the presidential candidate. Now, that's only one office, right? But see, it's an imperial presidency, so it's pretty important who we give that office to. And what's also important is that the top of the ticket has a huge effect on all the candidates down ballot. Mitt Romney cost the Republican Party the Senate. Now, if there was a Senate majority, I'm pretty sure McConnell would have screwed it up anyway, but that's neither here nor there. The fact is that they are trying to crush the grassroots because that's where the real conservatives and the real libertarians are, and they want consultant-approved, stuffed suits who do the bidding of the Keynesians, the corporatists, and the now world order. So these two things coincide. Now, a lot of people go, I don't really care about the rules and blah, blah, blah. Well, these things are important because by shortening the primary period and by moving the convention from late August to late June or early July, things happen so quickly that grassroots don't have enough time to raise enough funds and get enough people out there that only the candidate with the big money and the big corporations behind them is going to be the nominee and the one in the news, and therefore they're going to get their rhino, which looks like it'll probably be Jeb Bush. So it's very important to watch what they're doing. Here's a little bit with John Boehner at 6 minutes. We'll be back for final thoughts on the other side of this.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. It's a dick fur.
What's a dick fur?
To
most
pee with.
People blame the Republicans for that, would you?
Yep.
Agree with that?
Yep.
Okay. So that was pretty much down the dump. And then the Obamacare rollout comes along, and that kind of boosts you back up again. Were you happy to
Listen,
see that?
Listen, I told my colleagues in July I didn't think shutting down the government over Obamacare would work because the president said, I'm not going to negotiate. And so I told him in August, probably not a good idea. Told him in early September. But when you have my job, there's something you have to learn.
Yeah.
When I looked up, I saw my colleagues going this way. And you learn that a leader without followers It's simply a man taking a walk.
Right.
So I said, you want to fight this fight? I'll go fight the fight with you.
Right.
But it was a very predictable disaster.
Yeah.
And so the sooner we got it over with, the better.
Yeah.
But remember the issue. The issue was we wanted to delay Obamacare for a year because it wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
And then we asked them to at least delay the individual mandate for a year.
Mm-hmm.
So we were fighting for the right things. I just thought tactically it was not the right way to do it.
Yeah, I see, you know what bothers me? I just get mad when people take such joy in seeing something fail, whether it's Republican or Democrat. You know, it's not like we're working together as a nation. And to me, that's what makes people give Congress an 8% approval rating when Obamacare fails and people go, yes, good. You know, I mean, whether you like it or not.
Hey, listen, the Congress has been America's favorite whipping boy for 200 years.
Yeah.
And the Congress, you know, there's 465 of us. We've always got some members in some level of trouble.
Right.
And so it doesn't look good. But remember about Obamacare. This is a government takeover of our health care system.
Mm-hmm.
And in my view, the view of most of my colleagues, this will not work. And it's not good for the country. And I think we're seeing that play out in front of us. It's not that I'm rooting for it to be a failure.
Gotcha.
It's just that I never thought it would work.
Right.
So far, I'm right.
Yeah, well, okay. But it is the law.
Oh, I said that the day after the 2012 election.
Yeah.
Obamacare. It's the law of the land.
Right.
Oh, my God. You know, thought that I was...
a traitor.
You can't believe the noise I heard.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is the law.
Yeah.
And but it's not working real well.
Tell me about 2014. That's the next...
Listen, the American people are still asking the question, where are the jobs?
Yeah.
And there's two issues in this election. It's going to be about the economy. It's going to be about Obamacare. Republicans have passed dozens of bills in the House, sitting over the United States Senate. Harry Reid and the Democrats over there won't pass the bills. That would actually help our economy get moving again, get Americans back to work, lift wages in our country.
Yeah.
We can help fix this problem.
Well, what does it take?
So it's going to be about jobs, and it's going to be about the failures in Obamacare.
Well, who do you like in 2016? For the
Republicans?
Well,
listen. I'm not endorsing anybody, but Jeb Bush is my friend, and I frankly think he'd make a great president.
Yeah, okay. So
really
Bush Clinton again. Yeah.
We're both making assumptions here.
Well, okay, all right. How about Christie? Is that damaged goods?
Well, listen, he doesn't appear that he knew anything about it.
Yeah.
He took responsibility, fired the people who were involved, he apologized. But this is not going to go away anytime soon.
Let me ask you something. Isn't that politics as usual? When I was a kid, I remember Lyndon Johnson getting all this, when the steel workers went on strike, he got the United States Steel all to him, and he called him, listen, you son of a bitches, and he screamed at him and yelled at him and swore at him and threatened to put him out, and then the strike ended. And it just seemed like behind closed doors, there's a little slapping around going on.
Well, that may happen in New Jersey. It doesn't happen in Ohio.
No, really?
We're from the Midwest.
You used to run a bar and you can say that?
Yes, I can say it. And I can put up with people like you, too.
Really? Wow. Wow. Man. Let me ask you about Snowden. Now, I guess Mike Rogers...
Chairman of the House Intelligence Committee.
He seems to think that Snowden was working with Russia as a spy.
That may or may not be true.
Mm-hmm.
All I can say is that I think Snowden is a traitor to the country.
I agree with you.
I think that the NSA may have made mistakes. But let's understand something. The NSA is there to keep Americans safe here and abroad. They've got a big job to do. We're going to take a look at what needs to be tweaked.
Israel spies on us. We call
and
one
we
of their
spy
guys,
on them. And we spy on everybody
that's
else.
That's right.
And they all spy on us.
Right.
So let's just get over it.
Right.
It's been going on for thousands
that's
of years.
Right, exactly.
Objection. The previous question is ordered. The question is on the adoption of the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye. All those opposed, no. Chair, the ayes have it. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
You dick!
We mock what we don't understand.
Yeah.
We have been saying for months that we were no longer going to sit around and allow ourselves to slice and dice for 6 months, participate in a circus of debate, but we were going to take hold once again of our responsibility at the Republican National Committee.
Now what the fuck are we supposed to do? We're some real pretty shit now, man!
Big reforms are coming to our presidential nominating process. Reforms that put Republican voters, not the liberal media, in the driver's seat.
Game over, man! It's game over!
Maybe your dick's not so dumb. Got me through high school.
Wow. That's all I can say. Wow. What you heard there was John Boehner lying his ass off with Jay Leno to look all jovial to the public and get Republican voters all excited about him. And then you heard the same guy from Tampa in August of 2012 reading off a teleprompter to push through, despite objections from the floor at the convention, rules that were drafted by John Sununu and Ben Ginsburg and excluded Morton Blackwell, who is hardly a young libertarian college kid or a new Tea Party infiltrator, from being at that rules meeting because he would have not allowed those rules to go through. So they sent him on a magical mystery tour around Tampa, pushed these rules through, rules that make it damn near impossible for anybody other than the selected rhino. When I say rhino on the presidential ticket, I'm talking about losers like Bush, losers like Bob Dole, losers like Jihad Jane McMahon and Shit Romney. That's who I'm talking about. Mitt Romney, who just admitted that they basically stole the election in Tampa. That was John Boehner pushing that through despite objections from the floor. That's who he is. Don't ever forget what they did there. And it doesn't matter if you were a Ron Paul supporter or not. When they break the rules, they break the rules. That's playing like the Democrats. That's the problem. And then you heard little Rince Pubis there talking about the new rules they passed, which shorten the primary caucus convention period. In fact, even here in Virginia, we just barely defeated a Senate bill that was going to prevent us from having conventions for nominating. They wanted to go to primaries. Why do they want to go to primaries? Oh, they're more Democratic. Well, here's the problem. In the current state of this country, where people are more likely, I mean, you're going to have 40 million people watching the Grammy Awards this week and less than on one channel and less than 37 million people watching the State of the Union address on all channels. Where are people's heads at? They're worried about Miley Beaver Cyrus or whatever the hell her name is getting arrested instead of paying attention to what's going on because the NSA is spying on you. If you open up the primaries to everybody, the biggest amount of money, the most media push, and the managing of the mind on a mass marketing basis is what's going to win, which means the candidate with the money, the candidate that is blessed by the corporatists in charge and not the real conservative grassroots. They don't want conventions, they don't want caucuses, and they want a short primary period in order to be able to push their rhino out there. What they would love to have is little Jeb Bush and Planet Hillary go at it, because guess what? The statists win either way. You have to stop them. You have to make sure that doesn't happen. Doctor?
Yeah, I really enjoyed listening to Boehner twice in a row. That did a lot for me. I think I better get some Rolaids. But, you know, first off, you know, when the guy, I just couldn't believe that he pulled that off. See, what amazes me about these interviews, when you know the information behind the scenes, I don't care if it's, you know, having discussions about the NSA or the IRS or, you know, who Boehner really is. I mean, I've watched since he was elected as Speaker, I've watched the Republicans surrender, not compromise, surrender on every major deal, whether it was debt ceiling increases, raising taxes, you know, which should disqualify every one of them because that's a major tenet of the party platform, you know, is his tax issues. And then Terrell raised taxes again, and everybody praised Ryan for his wonderful work that he did. And
you know, and we're getting ready to send Egypt money again, you know, and our veterans are being taken care of, you know, these people who went out and fought these stupid frickin' wars for you a-holes, you know, I mean, that should be sacred. You can't do that to your veterans, especially a volunteer army, if you ever want to have an army again. It's just insane what's going on, and these people, you listen to them being interviewed, and I'm just going, why? You just put me in that chair, and I'll ask you the right questions and counter your bullcrap. But these people, these talking heads, and I like Jay, don't get me wrong, but, you know, I agree with that, yeah. You know, that's not an interview. That's how these people interview. They say something stupid like Rogers and Feinstein, you know, get on there, and the person's like, oh, yeah, well, what about this and what about that? And they never ask the tough questions. Never, Rex. I just never see it. A couple of them do, but most of them don't. They're just filling the airwaves and pushing whatever the agenda is. The agenda is divert you from this issue, divert you from that issue, get you focused on Bieber, get you focused on the mall shooting, get you focused on everything but the truth. Because what we want is we want you compliant going into 2014 so you vote the same bastards in that got us here right back into power. I mean, it's just the biggest joke I've ever seen in my life. And it's the scary thing is the majority of people just keep rolling right up and doing the same damn thing, and they don't do the research for themselves, you know. And maybe they do, and they just can't. They don't know how to siphon through it because they don't know what they stand for anymore in this country. Got me. You know, they tell you, oh, yeah, well, you know, stop talking about social issues. You know, you social issue Republicans, you know, the conservatives, oh, yeah, oh, the socialists. Our society's falling apart. And yet, if you turn around and you look over here at the little R or the big or the little L or the big L, the two parties, right, you look at them, that's all they talk about is the social issues. But we're not supposed to. And yet, and then people, they get quiet because, oh, we get in trouble because we talk about social issues. But then the other party can do it all day long. You know, that's programming, folks. They're programming your brain to shut up, sit down, work your butt off, pay your damn taxes, go broke, work until you die, and vote for your party emblem. That's what they're programming you to become. And honestly, looking at the primary, yeah, like the, looking at the primary, Rex, I'm like going, what a bunch of idiots. Well, who's electable? What the hell does that mean? How in the hell do you know who's electable? That guy? Obviously he wasn't. Or the guy before him? Obviously he wasn't. You know, it's like, who in the hell came up with that marketing? That was a marketing strategy. And they said those words about 10,000 frickin' times on every news station, including social media, where they pay people to go around and plant these seeds in your mind. And the people bought into that bullcrap. Anybody but Obama, ABO, who's electable? ABO, who's electable? Look, Romney, look, Romney, who's electable? ABO. And people went out and voted for the dog, and he lost. Because he wasn't electable. I mean, it's just, if you can't see a marketing gimmick, then, God, don't vote, please. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're absolutely right. It is mass marketing. It manages minds, and people fall for it. Their fear of Obama drives them to a guy like Mitt Romney. Things would be worse with Romney than they are with Obama, because the Republicans wouldn't even pretend to be in opposition. Okay, that's what you have to understand. And, well, why would Hamrove and all the consultants and Crossroads, why would they push Romney if he was going to lose? They get paid if he wins or loses. It's like a stockbroker that sells you a shitty stock. He gets a commission when he sells it to you, and he gets a commission when you try to sell it. Yeah. Rove makes his money either way. And sometimes they make their money more by losing. Because now you're all upset, so you're really afraid, so you're going to even go out there and work harder for the rhino. That's the problem. You got to elect real conservatives. You got to pay attention to these things. And you have to understand that the same tactics that they used to now make the targeting of Tea Party groups and libertarian groups and conservative groups and Christian groups, targeting them with the IRS legal, What the Republicans just did was made what they did illegally, and Romney admitted that they stole the election in Tampa. What they did there illegally, they've now changed the rules to make it legal this time. That's the crap you're putting up with. And the only way they're going to keep getting away with this is if you're going to fight with each other about, well, I'm pro-life, well, I want to legalize pot, well, I want marriage equality, instead of focusing on the broad topics that unite us. Ending the Fed, abolishing the IRS, restoring the Constitution, curtailing the government, that kind of stuff. That's what you have to focus on. That doesn't mean that I'm less pro-life. I'm 100% pro-life. In fact, most of you who consider yourself pro-life are probably pro-birth. I'm actually pro-life. I'm probably more extreme on this position than you are. But I know that the Republicans have been pandering to pro-lifers for a long time and haven't done anything about it. Little Eric Cantnot showed up at the March for Life rally last week, delayed the RNC meeting so that they could make a trip there and tell you how pro-life they are. Where were you last year, pal? Rand Paul was there. You know, Rand Paul means it when he says it. These guys don't. They haven't done anything for you in 42 years, and yet you keep voting for them. Because, well, Rick Santorum's a great guy because he's pro-life and he's Catholic. Big deal. He's a big state loser. I don't want a guy like that in government. I don't care how good a guy he is. Yeah, I don't care how good a guy he is. That's irrelevant.
Read it.
Yeah. Okay? So you need to focus up, people, and learn to get along and learn to create a force multiplier, because if you don't do it, we're going to lose the whole thing. This spying is unbelievable. I cannot believe that people are okay with this. It is just unbelievable that you are okay with them logging every keystroke, reading every text, grabbing every email, every phone call you make, that they have drones flying over your head, that they – what's that?
Credit card expenditures.
Yeah, the Office of Consumer Financial Protection and the Federal Reserve is tracking every financial transaction you make. It's unbelievable that we're allowing this to happen, and we're going to fight with each other over whether people should be legally smoking dope or not. I mean, seriously, this is an issue. I mean, look, I'm all for decriminalizing pot because I don't think you should put people in jail for, you know, having a quarter ounce of weed that they're idiots on them. But to really make that an important issue, you know, or to allow a small percentage of population that engages in strange behaviors to suddenly get married. You know, does that make me anti-gay? No. Okay. People are people. We're all Americans. We have to look out for each other. But certain things can't be done. And certain things are absolutely not important. When the government is spying on all of us, that is something everybody should be upset about, from pro-lifers to homosexuals to libertarians to Democrats to liberals to progressives to conservatives to Tea Party. Everybody should be upset about this. Because if you give them power, and they happen to be doing things the way that you like now, but they have that power, what happens when people you don't like get that power? Now, then you're going to complain about it? How about we just don't give them the power in the first place? That's the important thing here. So learn to get along with each other and learn to fight them at their own game. Don't let them manage your mind and get more people involved to get real candidates who are going to get this thing out of our way. The fact is that the federal government is supposed to have very little day-to-day effect on our lives, but it has an effect on every aspect of our lives, and that's why you have to be involved. It is ridiculous. It is overbearing. It is unbelievable. Chris, we're running out of time, and we've got like a pretty lengthy Judge Knapp clip that we'll play after the close, which is actually very important. He brings up a lot of points that we've already talked about, but he does it in a phenomenal way. He really knows the Constitution. And, you know, I'm blown away that it took a 29-year-old, you know, high school dropout, right? That's how they sell Snowden. He's a high school dropout. He's not a high school dropout. You know, he went off to do something with his life that didn't require finishing high school by being in high school. He got his GED and got some technical skills, and very sharp guy, very smart, and found himself in this job where he's like, wow, what these people are doing is unconscionable. Who do I go to? Well, he looked at all the other whistleblowers and what happened to them. He's like, wow, I'm screwed if I do this. So I can either be quiet and keep collecting my $200,000 a year living in Hawaii, screwing everybody in America, or I can let them know that they're being screwed and let them decide what to do with it. Well, he did that 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. He told you what they were doing. He proved it. He showed it to you. What are you going to do about it? Are you just going to sit back and say, oh, yeah, log every keystroke, read every email, grab every text, follow me around, use the GPS to find me, or are you going to do something about it? You know, Justin Amash almost got a bill passed to do something about it. And Johnny Boehner, guy you just heard on Jay Leno, I can bar, I even like you, all that bullshit. Yeah, that guy, who hardly ever actually takes a vote because he likes to drum up his caucus and get them out there and vote, but he got up to vote against Justin Amash's bill. That's what he did. What about Rand Paul? Right? He's talking about your civil liberties. He did a 13-hour filibuster last March to defend your constitutional right to privacy and security in your papers in person. Yep. Did you thank him for that? Or did you just start nitpicking and go, he's really not as libertarian as his dad, so I don't like him. Really? That's your issue? Right? Because McConnell is awesome, right? Bob Bailout Corker, he's awesome. Let's get more of those guys. Screw Rand Paul. He's not as libertarian as his dad. He sucks. Really? This is what's important? I mean, we're literally at a tipping point where we might lose this whole thing. And when you lose it, what are you going to do? Sit in your parents' basement smoking dope and bitching about it? That's your plan? That's your long-term plan? Or are you going to stand up and be a proud American, fighting for freedom, standing up for truth? That's what it's about. That's what the Constitution is about, and you are not preserving it. It's still the legal law of the land, but unless you enforce it, it doesn't mean anything. So you got to get off your ass right. And quit posting things to the three other people on the planet that you know and expand the circle. All right, go ahead.
No, that's I'm just sitting back listening.
Final thought.
Just going, Doctor? Yeah. It's not, none of this is difficult, you know? And I think the part, when I first got involved in the primary, I'd never followed a primary in my life, honestly. You know, I admit it. I was not a federal, political junkie. I lived my life in my community, in my state. I was involved. I knew what was going on. You know, I tried to, I lived in the capital city for half my life in Alaska, so I, was pretty attuned to politics in Alaska because that was what impacted my life. And I moved back down south and 9/11, a few years later, I'm like looking around going, something's really, really changing in this country really fast. And I'll never forget the day that the Patriot Act was signed because I remember that and I'm going, that's the end of our freedom right there. I don't care what you thought of Bush, think of Bush. I watched Bush on Leno the other night, first time he's been out, in that kind of environment for a long time. And he was great. I liked Bush as a person. I believe he loves our country. I believe that he loves our troops. There's just certain aspects about him that were solid, but he made a lot of mistakes. And I don't know if it was him or the people around him. You know, you can figure all that out for yourself. But some bad things were done in his regime. And some consolidation of power, and along comes a guy who wants to fundamentally change America, and he walks in, he's got all them levers of power that the Bush administration set up in their desire of this, keeping America safe, so, whatever, war on terror. And he took a hold of it, and he's running with it, and we got a bunch of weak-kneed sheep Republican leadership, Boehner and McConnell and McCain and Cantor and the rest of those, names. And you look at this and my jaw drops some days. And the most frustrating part isn't the creeps up there trying to consolidate power and doing crooked things, because that's always happened, with man. It's always been that way. There's always been corruption and people who seek power and to control and everything else. That isn't what bothers me. What bothers me is we live in the greatest country in the history of the world, and you can't even get people off their lazy butts to go vote. Half the country votes in a major election, and less than 37% vote in midterms. Midterms are vitally important. 2010 proved that. You said 2%. It was like 1.6% increase in voting. And look at the win. 24 states full, Republican control, 34 Republican governors took the House back over and broke the supermajority in the Senate in one midterm election with less than 2% increase in turnout. And that shows you right there that it doesn't take a majority. You're not going to change everybody. You're not going to reach everybody. And you're not going to convince everybody to do something. There's always, even back in the 60s, you know, the numbers were much higher in terms of civil responsibility, people getting up and voting, much higher than they are today. But it doesn't take everybody. It just takes more. And I'm telling you, one of the biggest marketing strategies out there is suppressing the vote. Romney camp under Rove, you know, did a major negative marketing strategies that would just to burn people out so they wouldn't get up and bother voting. And there's a strategy, a marketing strategy to that. So what you have to do is get up and make a decision that you're going to vote, number one, get educated. Number two, you're going to make sure that 10 people vote who didn't vote last time or who weren't going to. And if everybody did that, it's ours again. Ball's in our court then. It's that simple. And what they want you to do is not do that. And they're going to bombard you. You watch the news. If you're involved in, you know, in groups on Facebook or whatever, there's going to be this whole strategy. You're going to see this exact same game that they did in the primary, exact same game. And the Republicans, the RNC and Rove learned it from the Democrats. They brought it over, and they applied it, and they lost a major election for it, you know, because it's wrong. And if you want to win, you want your country to survive, God, you know, you said tipping point, we're past it. I mean, I believe we're past the tipping point. I think it's a question of, you know, I always see that that movie, the dinosaur movie, the last one they did where they went back to the other island.
Jurassic Park
3.
14.
And okay. where that big, huge camper, you know, trailer type unit got knocked off the cliff by the Tyrannosaurus Rex, and it was hanging over the cliff, and it was a question of could they pull it back over, or was it going to fall? That's I think is more where we're at than just being to the edge. I think we were on the edge of the cliff years ago, you know, but we're hanging over the edge. Yeah, we're over the edge. And can we recover? You damn right we can. We're America. But you cannot recover sitting on your ass in front of the TV or hiding in your frickin' church, you know, praying for God to do something. God did do something. He tagged you and said, you're it. Now get off your butt and do something. You know, prayer is important. You bet it is. You know, but it's a piece of it. Faith is an action word. You know, faith is outlook. I pray 5 hours a day. Well, do you know what's going on? Do you know your neighbor? No, but I pray a lot. You know, you're not living your life. You know, we used to have this term, so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. You live on this stinking earth. It sucks. Get over it. Now do something about it. We live in America. It's a gift from God. This country is an incredible experiment, more freedom than ever existed in the history of the world. You know, and anything we've ever seen in any historical text, it's an amazing place. And it's like Benjamin Franklin said to that lady when he walked out of the convention, she said, what kind of government did you guys give us? And he said, ma'am, I gave you a republic if you can hold on to it. That means you tag your it. If not, what the hell? You know, another dictatorship in the history of the world, hell, we've had a bunch of them. It sucks.
Another failed empire.
I'm done. Doctor?
Doctor. Look, it's very simple, right? And everything that Chris just told you is absolutely true. You got to get off your butt and do it. I don't care if you're a libertarian. I don't care if you're a conservative. I don't care. Tea Party, Liberty Movement, if you like Ron Paul, if you like Rand Paul, if you love Newt Gingrich. I don't care. You all have to work together. We have far more in common than we have difference. And if we don't work together against a very organized enemy, we're going to lose this whole thing. But the beautiful thing, like Chris said, is we've been down before, but we rise to the challenge. Your job is to rise to the challenge. When John Boehner goes out there and talks about, oh, we're united in our goals, but we have tactical differences. So it's just tactical differences, and the tactic failed. Yeah, the tactic failed. The tactic failed because there was no party unity. Notice how when these pricks want to elect a rhino, Well, he's not the ideal candidate, but, you know, we need party unity behind him. They want party unity. Or when they want to pass a crappy $1.1 trillion budget that we can't afford and pretend it's fiscally responsible Paul Ryan crap, it's not exactly what I would have wanted, but we need party unity behind it, right? But any time that anything conservative is happening, suddenly it's like, oh, we can't be, we're being taken over by Tea Party libertarian hostage takers. Okay, it failed because there was no party unity. If the Republicans had actually united behind Mike Lee and Ted Cruz, then the shutdown that Harry and Obama caused would have actually forced them to the negotiating table, just like Gingrich did it to Clinton. Remember, Clinton said the era of big government is over after the second shutdown. That's how these things work. But guess what? Paul Ryan managed to avoid a shutdown in January. They've wiped out the debt ceiling. There's going to be no negotiating over the debt ceiling. The Republicans have already caved, and now they're going to push through amnesty. This is what you get when you have party unity behind a bunch of sissy bastards that call themselves Republicans or conservatives or even severe conservatives but are nothing more than political opportunists, consultant hacks, and corporatist Keynesians. That's what you get. So what do you do? Well, let's leave the Republican Party. Great. Now you've left the Republican Party. The Republicans keep losing, and the Democrats run the whole show. That's a fantastic strategy. How about we take over the Republican Party? There are people right now fighting in various state committees and various districts to keep the control that they gained in 2010 and 2012 of the party. Don't abandon them. Don't fall for Karl Rove's conservative victory project or the bullshit that spews out of the mouths of the big boob blondes and the insipid bastards on Fox Noise. Get to the real truth. Support the real candidates. This is the time to do it. This is the time to do it. And it can be done. It is up to you. And the way you unite people, don't you start fighting about pot-smoking sodomy or pro-life, as important as I think pro-life is, because you're not going to get anywhere with the Republicans. How about you get off your ass and you unite on something like, oh, I don't know, the NSA spying on every single one of us, or trying to blow up Syria and start World War III. I mean, our foreign policy right now consists of teaming up with Iran to fight al-Qaeda in Iraq while teaming up with al-Qaeda to fight Bashar al-Assad in Syria. In the meantime, we're going to try to make sure that the Saudis blow up Sochi Olympics so that Putin can look bad because he made us look weak. This is insane. This is what's going on. You've got to unite people behind how crazy this is and roll it back and take your country home. You know, ain't nobody but spies like us. But don't spy on me. Spy on the enemy. Spy on foreigners. Spy on our allies. That's great. I've got Fourth Amendment guaranteed rights, Fifth Amendment guaranteed rights. You cannot spy on me. But they spy on you, and then you get scared. And then you stop talking. And then you stop saying stuff. Then you stop meeting together. Then you stop thinking. And now you're a slave. That's how it happens. This is your chance to fix it. It is up to you. It sucks. You got to do the work. But it's awesome to be here right now to stand and fight on this. So don't bitch about whether Snowden's a hero or a traitor. Really, it's kind of a pointless point. As Sarah Palin says, Snowden's not the issue. What he showed us is, right. I don't care how he did it, he did it. Now you know what's happening. You going to be okay with it? This is a unifying issue. Get behind it. Look what we did with Syria. Look what we did on guns. How about we do it with this? How about we do it with these stupid Republican rules that are going to ensure that we get another rhino like Jeb Bush and lose more seats and the presidency. And now this super imperial presidency that escalated from Bush to Obama is going to be handed to someone like Hillary Clinton? Are you serious? And at this point, what difference does it make? You really want a charge? This is how important it is. So quit bitching and fighting with each other and quit being lazy and thinking that reporting on what Obama is doing is important. And actually unite people on these issues and get out there and make it happen. We'll be back next week, 10 p.m., probably talking about the State of the Union, and I think I just lost my co-host, but that's quite all right. So join us next week. In the meantime, please go to Facebook, like our page, and we'll let you know when we're going to do some extra broadcasts. This is Rex and Trog signing off. The thunder of liberty rumbles on.
Judicial analysts, which makes him amazing. All right, the heads of the House and Senate Intelligence Committees made the Sunday morning rounds, tying Edward Snowden to Russia or some other formal nation state. They're saying he didn't act alone. Someone or some group put him up to the leaking. Is there any evidence of this?
Well, there's no evidence of this that's been revealed, and it's highly inappropriate for members of the government to make allegations like this without revealing any evidence to substantiate it. But these two members of Congress have been the cheerleaders for the NSA from the beginning of their tenure in their respective positions. Each is chair of the Intelligence Committee, Senator Feinstein in the Senate and Congressman Rogers in the House. And in their minds, the NSA can do no wrong, and they each have said that Edward Snowden is a traitor, or words to that effect. They each have very, very little credibility in this area because they are so blindly in favor of what the NSA does. I'll tell you a story about Congressman Rogers, who's a former FBI agent. He was interrogating General Keith Alexander, the head of the NSA, and this was right after the revelations came back. Question, Congressman Rogers. General Alexander, does the NSA have the ability to capture the content of phone calls? Answer, General Alexander, no, sir, we don't have that authority. Now, in a courtroom, a judge would say, wait a minute, answer the question that was put to you.
Yeah, authority and ability are...
Unless the judge was in cahoots with the witness to mislead the tribunal before which the testimony was given,
yeah,
which is exactly what Congressman Rogers was trying to do. Congressman Rogers must think that we would all fall for that stunt. Many people in the media did. Many people on the House committee over which he was the chair did.
Yeah.
A lot of us did not.
Okay, now here's my thing. If you have Feinstein and Rogers out there saying that a guy who worked for the NSA was really a spy, then how crappy is the NSA if they employed a spy? I mean, all they've done since the Snowden leaks is talk about how he's a dropout, how he's a good-for-nothing.
Right, just idiot.
Why would you employ someone like that? Why would you give someone access to this kind of information?
They won't answer a question like that. They also can't address this. Snowden has said because he was fearful of being kidnapped by the CIA or American Intelligence Forces wherever he went, he didn't bring any of this with him. He didn't bring it to Hong Kong, and he didn't bring it to Moscow. So it is so simplistic to think that because he's in Moscow, the Russians have what he has. What he has is not physically with him. It is elsewhere, either in the United States or in Great Britain, and timed to be released. So it's not anything new to me. I don't have any personal knowledge of this, but this is what he has said. He would be insane. First of all, it's 1.7 million pages of documents. He might be able to get that into one of those keys, but he would be insane to bring that key with him.
Yeah.
Judge, there was a piece in the New Republic, the sort of flagship for progressive liberalism in this country, that was titled, Would You Feel Differently About Snowden, Greenwald, and Assange If You Knew What They Really Thought? And inside, some of the things that we learned that they really thought is that Ron Paul is an okay guy, that the gold standard might happen, and that sometimes Glenn Greenwald works with Cato Institute. What do you see out there, like the reaction to Snowden, that kind of hysterical reaction and guilt by association, what does that say about the people who are propagating it, whether they're in government or whether they're in journalism?
They are fans of big government, and they are losing this battle because Snowden is gaining more and more popularity. He is immensely popular with young people and on college campuses today. You know this. And the more we learn about this, the more we are indebted to him. I will tell you a very brief story. Right in this very studio, I had a tete-a-tete with Ray Kelly, the former police commissioner, over civil liberties. And as soon as the camera went off, he said, I love when we disagree. And I certainly disagree that the NSA should be reined in. But I'm glad that Snowden revealed it. It's just way too much for us not to know it. I run the biggest police department in the country, and I didn't know about this. So he is gaining popularity in corners that one would least expect.
And with the American people, too. They're certainly more curious, and, you know, the tide of public opinion is flowing in his favor.
Yes.
And Judge Matt, what would you say to folks who said Snowden should come back to the United States and face justice? What obligation does he have to obey a law that may in fact be unjust? He has uncovered the fact that the United States government was apparently lying about what they were actually doing.
I think it will be impossible for him to get a fair trial. The Espionage Act of 1917, which was written by Woodrow Wilson to suppress free speech, has rarely been used, and that is the since World War One, and that is the instrument under which he's been indicted. Since then, the Congress has enacted legislation that will make it impossible for him to confront the evidence against him and discuss it openly in a jury, that will require all kinds of secrecy between him and his lawyer, things his lawyer can learn that he can't, and things that the judge and the jury and the prosecution can learn that he and his lawyer cannot. It will be impossible for him to get a fair trial. Nor do I expect that any president in the present age would have the courage to pardon him.
All right. Thank you very much, Judge.
Pleasure.
We'll see you again. Many questions. Many
pleasure.
Questions. All right. Great to see you, Judge.
Oh, nice to be with you,
Welcome
Gretchen.
To the real
Reminds
story.
Reminds me of the old days at 6:15 in the morning.
Yeah, well, this is a little bit better time slot. Let's talk about what you think this says as far as a message, this new report that's come out. What kind of message does it send to the Obama administration?
This is the fourth official government examination of the NSA spying program since Edward Snowden's revelation. The first was by a federal judge who found it unconstitutional. The second was by another federal judge who found it constitutional. The third was by the Civil Liberties Board appointed by the president. The fourth was this one, the Privacy Board appointed by the president. They all agreed on one thing. There is no credible evidence that this program has kept us safer or has kept the bad people away from us.
Yeah, but they even went a step further because they called it illegal.
Well, this particular group called it illegal, that the president appointed. The Civil Liberties Board called it illegal. One of the two judges called it illegal, and one of the judges found it constitutional. So this tells me this will eventually make its way to the Supreme Court. This also tells me the poll that you just showed, 68% of Americans are glad that Snowden revealed this. Americans are getting a little weary of it. It is really, really massive. How massive? The NSA captures 500,000 buddy lists a day, 600,000 address books a day, 200 million texts a day.
Wow.
Before we even get to the telephone calls.
So you believe that it's an unqualified embarrassment for the administration because now you have the president last week coming out with his so-called reforms, which both sides of the aisle didn't really see as doing that much. And what do you make of the politics behind the president coming out with his reforms and now this panel coming out after him, although he did discuss apparently with this panel?
Right before the president came out with his so-called reforms, and you know that I wrote in my column that they don't reform anything, Senator Bernie Sanders, the socialist from Vermont, wrote to the head of the NSA saying, are you spying on Congress?
Right.
The answer was, you ready for this?
Yep.
Congress gets the same constitutional protections as the rest of the United States, which is to say none. In the real world, that would have triggered massive investigations and probably a cutback of the NSA's budget. This gets to your question. The members of Congress are either afraid of what the NSA knows about them, or they want to give the impression to the American public that they're doing something, and the something that they're doing to keep us safe is spying on us. Guess what? All four groups that have looked at this have said the spying doesn't keep us safe, or it gives us a false impression.
This is a direct quote from the report that just came out today. We have not identified a single instance involving a threat to the United States in which the telephone records program made a concrete difference in the outcome of a counterterrorism investigation.
The same thing was said by two federal judges who gave the NSA ample opportunity to demonstrate how have you protected us by this spying? Is there any good that we can balance against all this invasion of privacy? They couldn't present any of the good.
So what will the president do?
I don't think the president will change anything because the president is intent upon creating this image, a false image, an erroneous image, that he is protecting us and keeping us safe by spying on us. Guess what? He is doing to us what other governments did to their people, governments we fought against World War II and Al Cold.
Well, I object to taking a girl out, you know, and buying her dinner, and then she won't put out for you.
Why are you here?
Why am I here? Why are you here? Why is anybody here? I think it was Jean-Paul Sartre who once said,
how do you spell Sartre?
Ow! And let that be a lesson to you.
Every minute you don't tell us why you're here, I cut off a finger.
Mine or yours?
Yours.
Damn! Ow! Why are you still hitting me? He's going to cut my fingers off.
You have 30 seconds.
You're not going to start humming the theme to Jeopardy, are you?
We start with a little one.
All right. All right, I'm an American agent.
And?
And,
They sent me here to assassinate your premier.
I knew it. Pay up, comrade.
Let's cut his fingers off anyway.
No.
Let's take him back to headquarters in Moscow.
Good move. Good move. Headquarters.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. It's a dick for. What's a dick for?
The Kiwi.
On Macau, we seek the brill cream Raji. He knows the where, the how. From beyond the bamboo curtain, there's no one you can trust. While China watches everywhere, watch. Spies like us. Tennis playing gypsies who do no one no harm. Foreign correspondent, a book under his arm. But who's that in the red shawl salmon? Is she one of us? There's a million girls like Susie Wong for spies like us.
Like us.